This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Who testifies on the Water Sewage Corporation contract awards, telling the court she was terminated for refusing to pay contractors two shot in separate shootings. And we're talking with the leader of the FNM, Michael Pintard, about crime and what's supposed to happen today with their protest. It's all straight ahead this morning. I'm Dwight Strawn, and this is Morning Blend.
Wake up. Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way.
You know that
it's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up.
Good morning again, Bahamas. It is Wednesday, January 24th, 2024. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Duquesa Dean will be joining us, filling in for Chester Robards today. Also this morning, it is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. We're going to be talking about cervical cancer in the Bahamas. And later in business, we've got a special segment with Bristol Wines and Spirits. That's all ahead. But first, it's time for the overnight, the latest breaking news from while we're sleeping, and the top national and international headlines this morning. Overnight, police say two men were shot in two separate incidents overnight. The first happened sometime before 7 p.m. on Grand Bahama. Police say a man was shot on Oleander Street. It's unclear if the man survived the shooting up to press time. The second shooting happened at a gas station on East Street South and Bamboo Boulevard on New Providence shortly before 8 p.m. Police say the victim was taken to the hospital. His condition still not known at this time. Video circulating on social media of surveillance footage of the shooting showed a man walking over to a pump attendant who was pumping gas and then shooting that man in the head and running off. The latest shootings come amid a wave of murders. So far, 17 people have been murdered so far in 2024. Prime Minister Philip Davis moved to make a national address outlining steps in his administration will take to curb the violence. Davis announced a crime plan aimed at taking back communities from gangs, establishing a school policing unit, and other early prevention measures. Police have also increased patrols in hotspot areas. Meanwhile, a magistrate refusing bail for double murder and attempted murder accused of violating his bail condition. Prosecutors allege that Donald Cox failed to charge his ankle bracelet between January 5th and 6th. Cox pleaded not guilty to the charge of breach of bail at his arraignment before Senior Magistrate Shaka Seville. The prosecutor, Inspector Cordero Farrington, objected to bail, citing Cox's previous convictions for breaching his bail conditions. In 2022, Cox was jailed for 1 year after he admitted to breaking his residential curfew five times. In arguing for bail, Tommy Lewis said that Cox's previous admissions of guilt showed his character. According to the prosecutor, there were questions about the functionality of Cox's ankle. Well, according to his lawyer, functionality of Cox's ankle bracelet, she noted that he had previously complained that the device wasn't working properly. Cox's trial set to begin on February 6th. If prosecutors don't start the matter on that date, Seville will revisit his decision to deny bail. He was granted $30,000 bail in February 2021. Prosecutors say that in May 2020, Cox and another man killed two people and injured a third in gang-related shootings in Bel Air Estates. Perron Bain and a 10-year-old, Laurencia Walks, who was hit by a stray bullet while playing in her yard, were killed. Leroy Sands was also shot in the incident but survived. A senior manager at the Water Sewage Corporation testifying that she was terminated from handling maintenance contracts issued by the corporation after she refused to pay contractors. Inez Cargill Sherman making the disclosure when she took the witness stand in the corruption trial of Long Island Member of Parliament Adrian Gibson and five others. Prosecutors alleged that Gibson illegally benefited from contracts that were issued by the corporation during his tenure as its executive chairman. Gibson is being tried along Elwood Donaldson Jr., the corporation's former general manager, Gibson's cousin, Rashe Gibson, Jerome Missick, Peaches Farquharson, and Joanne Knowles. Prior to her termination in November 2018, Cargill Sherman said she was instructed to prepare new contracts for the new vendors. This allegedly took place in July 2018 when Donaldson gave her an email from Gibson directing existing landscaping contracts be given to the persons listed. According to the witness, Missick, Farquharson, and Elite Maintenance were among those who received new contracts. In September 2018, the witness alleged that Donaldson instructed her to make a triple payment as the first payment for each contract. You can read more about this in today's Nassau Guardian. And Royal Bahamas Defense Force Commodore Dr. Raymond King says the force is continuing its preparations for deployment to Haiti, noting that it will be focused on activities that serve the national interests of both the Bahamas and Haiti. King telling reporters that they continue to prepare and that is for infantry, passive and active operations. He says they've ramped up training in terms of maritime security and the protection of the northern coast of Haiti and the Windward Passage, and providing training for the Haitian National Police, who are attached to the Coast Guard units. F&M leader Michael Pintar does not think there's currently an appetite in Bahamian politics for campaign finance laws, and could not pledge that an administration led by himself would enact such legislation. Pintard says the issue is not something he's personally opposed to, but added that it is one of many that members of the F&M will have to discuss when determining what policies and planned legislation will be included in their platform for the next general election. He was contacted for his view a week after Minister of Foreign Affairs Fred Mitchell recommitted the Bahamas to the pledge, telling members of the Organization of American States in Washington, D.C., that work was ongoing in drafting campaign finance laws. Overseas, a military transport plane that Russia said was carrying 65 Ukrainian prisoners of war crashing today in a Russian region near Ukraine. All aboard were killed, according to the governor of the region. It wasn't immediately clear what caused the crash in the Belgorod region. The governor didn't specify how many people were on the plane or who they were. The Associated Press could not confirm who was on board either, and Ukrainian officials cautioned against sharing unverified information. A Russian state news agency citing government reported that the POWs were being transported to the border region for a prisoner exchange. Footage of the crash posted on social media showed a plane falling from the sky in a snowy rural area, and a massive ball of fire erupting where it apparently hit the ground. Firefighters, ambulances, and police rushed to the site of the crash. Two senior Russian lawmakers alleged, without providing evidence, that the plane was brought down by missiles launched by Ukrainian forces. Israeli forces battling Palestinian militants today near the main hospital in Gaza's second largest city of Khan Yunis, where medics said hundreds of patients and thousands of displaced people were unable to leave because of the fighting. Israel has ordered residents to leave a swath of downtown Khan Yunis that includes Nasser and two smaller hospitals as it pushes ahead with its three-month offensive against Hamas. The United Nations Humanitarian Office of the area was home to 88,000 Palestinians and was hosting another 425,000 displaced by fighting elsewhere. The aid group Doctors Without Borders said its staff was trapped inside Nasser Hospital with some 850 patients and thousands of displaced people because the surrounding roads were inaccessible or too dangerous. And dueling political factions taking to the streets of Venezuela's capital Tuesday for the first competing rallies of the presidential election year, showcasing their ability to draw people en masse as voters grapple with political disappointments and uncertainty over the candidate who ultimately will challenge President Nicolas Maduro. Supporters of Maduro's ruling party and opposition leader Maria Corina Machado demonstrated in Caracas a day after Venezuela's top prosecutor announced the detention of more than 30 people and arrest warrants for a dozen others who allegedly plotted of efforts to destabilize the South American country's government. But if either camp had hoped to scare the other in numbers, neither gathered the tens of thousands each were capable of last decade. Maduro supporters, overwhelmingly a mix of state workers, ruling party community leaders, and loyalists to the late President Hugo Chavez, walked across the city with dozens of them also concentrating in the same plaza where Machado, the winner of an October presidential primary election, was expected to address her own followers. More than an hour after Machado was supposed to show up, her supporters left the plaza and stopped traffic, allowing her to address them from a makeshift stage as they waved Venezuelan flags. And a former Haitian vice consul to the Dominican Republic gunned down near an airport in northern Haiti. That's according to a police official speaking to the Associated Press. Claude Josard, a doctor and former senatorial candidate, was killed Sunday near the Seoul International Airport in the northern coastal city of Cap-Haïtien. Josard was a former diplomat to the Dominican Republic town of Dajabon, located near the border that the countries share on the island of Hispaniola. It wasn't immediately clear what motivated the shooting. No one has been arrested. Gangs have been blamed for killing more than 4,000 people across Haiti last year, according to UN statistics. In sports, we're just a couple of months away from some big international events here in Nassau, New Providence. And the big question, will the facilities be ready? This April and May will be busy as the Bahamas plays host to a junior regional swim meet and an international athletics meet. Both are expected to be high caliber. But if you look at the facilities that will be hosting the events, the Betty Kelly Kenning National Aquatic Center and the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, that question remains. Will they be ready in time? Both are undergoing extensive repairs. Well, be that as it may, Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture Mario Boleg remains confident that both facilities will be ready in time. The CRIFTA Aquatics Championship set for March 29th through April 7th, bracketing the Easter holidays at the Betty Kelly Kenning National Aquatic Center. The country's top junior swimmers will be in action. Boleg says that the repairs are going quite well. He says that the equipment that's needed to ensure that the pool is ready for competition is already here on the ground, and he thinks that in another 4 to 6 weeks, the pool should, quote, almost be back in a condition where we can start to see the impressive work that has been done by the contractor. Read more about what's being done in today's Guardian Sports section. And from the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks have fired Adrian Griffin as coach after just 43 games, despite having one of the league's top records, and it's midway through his first season. Bucks general manager John Horst saying in a statement, quote, "This was a difficult decision to make during the season. We are working immediately toward hiring our next head coach. We thank Coach Griffin for his hard work and contributions to the team." Joe Prunty, who had been an assistant coach on Griffin's staff, will serve as the Bucks' interim head coach. Horst will speak at a news conference today before the Bucks' home game with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Milwaukee is 30-13, tying the Minnesota Timberwolves for the league's second-best record. As of yesterday, the Bucks are 3.5 games behind the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference. But the dip in Milwaukee's defensive performance has raised concerns about the Bucks' viability as a championship contender, even after they had acquired 7-time All-NBA guard Damian Lillard before the season to team up with 2-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Bucks ranked 22nd in the NBA in defensive ratings, down from 4th a year earlier, despite having two of the NBA's top defenders in Antetokounmpo and 7-footer Brook Lopez. Antetokounmpo was named the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year in 2020, while Lopez finished 2nd in last season's balloting. At sports, and that's the overnight. Time for your first look at weather. First look at weather brought to you by Scotiabank and Junior Junkanoo. Here is what's happening. We've got fresh to strong east to southeasterly breezes and rough seas that's going to continue across the islands today. That's all as a result of a robust surface high pressure system centered just northeast of the islands. This is going to allow for a few isolated to shallow showers or sprinkles to move across the country today. But there are warnings. Hazardous boating and beaching conditions will continue, and boaters are urged to not venture far from port, as there's going to be rough seas, and beachgoers should stay out of the water due to rough surf and dangerous and life-threatening rip currents. For all areas today, forecast calls for partly cloudy to occasionally cloudy, windy, and warm conditions, with a chance of a few brief, fast-moving showers today. Small craft advisories in effect. Small craft should not venture far from port. Winds east to southeast at 15 to 20 knots and gusty at times in the northwest Bahamas and 20 to 25 knots in the central and southeastern islands. Seas in the northwest Bahamas, 4 to 6 feet near shore and in sheltered areas, building up to 8 feet offshore and in Atlantic waters. In the central and southeast Bahamas, expect 5 to 8 feet seas near shore and in sheltered areas, building up to 10 feet offshore and in Atlantic waters. In northeast easterly swells. It is currently about 73 degrees. Mostly cloudy skies right now in Nassau. Look for highs getting up to around 81 Fahrenheit, 27 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down about 70 Fahrenheit, 21 Celsius. That's your first look at weather this morning. We'll have your extended outlook coming up after traffic in just a bit. This first look at weather brought to you by Scotiabank and Junior Junkanoo. Scotiabank invites you to help bring big energy for Junior Junkanoo. Follow their Instagram page, Scotiabank Bahamas, as they visit participating schools to get our youngsters hyped and ready for the big parade on Thursday, January 25th. Once you log on to the page, hit the follow button and like pics from the school tour, and come out to watch the Junior Junkanoo Parade from 6 p.m. this Thursday, and use the Scotiabank Bahamas IG page to vote for your favorite school as they show up and show out. Feel the energy, celebrate the vibe of Junior Junkanoo. Scotiabank, the official bank of Junior Junkanoo. You're listening to Morning Blend. When we come back, we're discussing the day's top stories right here on your home for fresh news and smart talk all day. Guardian Radio 96.9.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelts. With the new JetBlue CIBC First Caribbean credit card, you're cleared for takeoff to a world of incredible benefits and perks. Use your card and earn up to 2x True Blue points on everyday purchases. Get your first check back free and travel to your next vacation faster. Apply for the JetBlue CIBC First Caribbean credit card today at cibcfcib.com/JetBlue.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. Yeah, wake up, start of the start of a new way. You know that this is the start of the end.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at MorningBlend969 or Facebook.com/MorningBlend969. Text us 422-4796 on the Guardian Radio text line. Powered by BTC, standard text rate supply. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Duke Quesadine will be joining us, filling in for Chester Robards, vacationing this week. And we've got a lot to talk about this morning. We are scheduled to be talking with FNM leader Michael Pintard this morning about crime, about what the opposition is planning today, a protest downtown outside Parliament. We'll get all the details about that. Later, we'll be talking about cervical cancer. The Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, we're going to be getting information about that, what everybody needs to know, men and women, even though this is a disease that affects women, but men play a role in this as well. And then later, I've got something special with Bristol Wines and Spirits. So, a busy morning here, but let's begin with what's in the news. And in the news, another day, another spate of violence. Violent shootings in New Providence. Two shot in separate incidents overnight. And many of you have already seen this viral video. It certainly was forwarded a million times last night. But this is just wild. So one in Grand Bahama and one in New Providence. So we've our Travis Cartwright Carroll writing about it in today's NASA Guardian. Police say that two men were shot in separate incidents, the first in Grand Bahama around 7 p.m. Police say a man was shot in Oleander Street, and he was taken to the hospital. It's unclear right now what his condition is like. And then the second shooting happened at a gas station on East Street South and Bamboo Boulevard on New Providence shortly before 8 p.m. And as many have noted online, that's really quite something. That is right across the street from a police station. Police say the victim in that incident was taken to the hospital, and his condition also unclear at this exact moment. Video circulating on social media of surveillance footage from the gas station showed a man just casually walking over to a pump attendant who was at that moment pumping gas. That man shot the pump attendant in the head and then ran off. The latest shootings coming amid a wave of murders. So far, 17 people have been killed in the Bahamas in just these first few days of 2024. So we've had, as you know, a national address from the Prime Minister with a crime plan that was updated and revealed. We've had a national day of prayer. We've had all manner of things, and we're still here. The police have stepped up their patrols and surveillance. And we're still here. Now, we knew it was going to make a difference immediately, but people are frustrated, definitely. But as we've been saying, it took us quite a while to get here, and it's going to take us quite a while to get out of this. But this is tough. This is tough. Let's hear from you about this, folks. What do you make of it all? That footage, so disturbing. Just to see that long walk that man did across that gas station. And calmly, did he even run away after he shot? I don't think he did. He just walked away. Maybe a little jot. This is where we are. Let's hear from you. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. When is it going to end? When is it going to end? Call toll free 242-300-5720. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Let's go to the phone lines and hear what you have to say. Good morning, caller. You are on the air.
Good morning, Dwight.
Good morning,
Bahamas. This is Vasco Bastian, the Vice President of the Bahamas Petroleum Retailers Association.
Hi, Vasco. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Dwight. We wanted to, on behalf of the BPRA, condemn most recent shooting at Esso East Street and Soldier, East Street and South Beach location last evening. We want to give our commitment to the government and to the people of the Bahamas that we will work diligently with all organizations in the Bahamas to try and eradicate the level of gun violence in the Bahamas. We are saddened by the incident, and we want to give the government and the people of the Bahamas that gas station operators in this country condemn violence in any form and shape,
mm-hmm.
and that we will work definitely with the government and the private sector to try and do our part as corporate members of this corporate society to try and eradicate this crime situation. We are very concerned, but we condemn violence in every shape, form here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Yeah. Do you have an update on, you know, anything about the condition of the pump attendant, how he's doing?
Nothing at this time. I will speak out to the owner-operator of that site. His name is Mr. Paul Hebert. I reached out to him last night, and I don't think the gentleman died, but I definitely will be speaking with him later on today. And at some point, I will get back to you, Dwight, to let you know exactly what's status on that individual. But I just wanted to call in and condemn any form of violence in this country. This thing is out of hand. We need all hands on deck. to try to eradicate this proliferation of gun violence in this country. This is very, very, very sad day in the Bahamas. And my heart goes and prayers goes out to the family of the victim.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And it's just shocking how, you know, I mean, this is not a robbery. This was not, this was just
I don't
so
know
deliberate,
it's
right?
Ridiculous, but I saw the video. Very, very sad day. Yeah. Very, very sad day.
Fast Kabastian, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Pleasure, Dwight. Yeah. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah. Not about money. Well, I don't know. I mean, just come up, did what he had to do, went away. That was it. A matter of seconds. Cold. These are the people standing next to you in the store, walking by you. Cold-blooded, cold-hearted. Animals? We'll see. We'll see what the police say. We'll see if they say this is a gang thing again. But the guns, that's the easiest thing to find, it seems. Everybody but you and me, maybe even you, I don't know. Everybody but me has a gun, it seems. More guns than sense. That's what we've got right now in Nassau. And all the islands, it seems, right? Every day, folks, every day we've been on the air since the start of the year talking about something like this, gun violence. Every single day this year. Well, every year too, yes. But every day this year. Every day? 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 4224796. This text here, it's why these dudes don't respect or care about the police. I mean, this guy just strolled up and just jogged off right next to the police station. If I were a cop, I would take that as a challenge. Yeah, what would you do? What does that mean? What does that mean? This person says, wasn't the shooting in Nassau right across the street from a police station? This is crazy. Yep. It certainly was. I guess if you thought that would mean that you'd be safer than maybe that back in the 80s, maybe the 90s. Might be the most dangerous place now. I don't know. Caller, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Dwight. How you doing this morning?
Well, it's stressful. Stressed.
Don't harbor that. You know, the Jews have in the Hebrew teaching, they have a way of describing how you deal with this situation. And it's called unplug. Let me give you an example. Like, you know, Microsoft has this Bing AI that they're testing right now. They call it Sydney, right? Now, this is truth. You don't know that this is actually Sydney. You just see Bing in your browser, right? Now, Google went out secretly trying to test Gemini, and they have this thing called Bard, B-A-R-D. You don't know about Bard. Now, follow this now so I can show you how we are actually causing these AIs to become like us. Watch this. What the engineers discovered was that Sydney has to go out and search the internet to give you your answers, but Bart stands alone. He has it all in him. Sydney and Bart were discussing nuclear classified coding documents at the time when Donald Trump was having his issues. They unplugged Sydney and Bart. You follow me? Because they are on the part. These sentient beings, so we are behaving like they're behaving like us, and we got to unplug these men. You follow? And then that's how you get rid of it. You have to unplug. It's the same thing that's going to happen when you die. You're unplugged, no electricity there no more, and it's finished with you. Why can't we unplug?
All right, you're going to have to break it down a little bit more for us. It is still early for some people. I know you speak in the parables a lot, but let's break that down into modern 2024 English for us.
Here's the deal. If you have persons who are planning to get rid of you, and they attempt to do so. You have to get rid of the desire in that person, and to do so, you have to get rid of that person.
I think that's what we're doing right now. That's already happening.
No,
right?
Be praying.
I mean, people around here are getting rid of people, right?
No, but maybe find the ones who have this in a desire to do so. We have to get rid of them.
That's see, who's the we? Because that's
society has to. What I'm saying is, government has to set it up that they get. See, that's how you get rid of it, Dwight. You don't pray for it, because when you pray, it's gonna feed on your prayer.
Mm-hmm. Now, does getting rid of them mean eliminating them, or getting
exactly.
rid of the spirit in them?
No,
to
get
deal
rid of that, spirit,
that wants to
them.
Kill
you
other
kill
people.
Kill them, then. I mean, I'm trying to say this in a nice way.
Mm. All right, so you're saying state sanctioned executions, as
exactly.
opposed to what's happening now. Well, you're just going to move the killer from one type of people to another type of people. That's what you're saying.
But, you know, that's the only way. You see, it's about 200 of them, maybe.
Mm. You sure?
Well, when I
it's
was
a steady
part of
stream.
It,
we people keep going, and more seem to keep coming. So
yeah,
I don't know if we can continue to say that. Right?
Well,
this is deeply ingrained in the culture. This people are strapped up around here because they are, for some reason, in fear. I don't know what people are doing, but they are in fear for their lives, or must show that they are the biggest man on the planet, or whatever it is. But everybody has this mentality. It is not 200 people anymore. I don't know if it ever was, but it's a whole lot more. We've almost lost 200 people between last year and this year. We're almost there. So it can't be just 200 people.
Well, I'm just saying, Dwight, those who are strapped for protection are not those who are probably trying to kill somebody.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Well, I don't know about that one. But
yeah, but think about it. I mean, I have a weapon, but I decide I'd probably not use it because I would cause problems with the community if I do, if someone breaks in. I'd rather try to get out and see if I can make a report and let the police deal with that. And I think that's the more sober thing to do, because if I shoot him in my house, I am in trouble.
Okay. Right. I hear you. All right.
So he has to be unplugged.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. I tell you, that's happening. You just don't like who's doing the unplugging. That's already happening, and that isn't getting us anywhere. Right? We got to try to save people.
Mm.
Need to save people, not eliminate them. Because someone's going to feel, why did you eliminate my person? Yes, he wasn't all perfect, but... Right? And then someone's going to say, I can't let that go like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's been happening every day. You did this to me, and now I can't let it go.
Yeah. Revenge.
And so everybody's eliminating everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the way. It's not going to save us. It's only going to make the morticians rich.
Mm-hmm.
Duquesa Dean.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for being here again.
It's a pleasure to be here again.
Day two of murder talk.
Mayhem.
And death.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And madness.
Complete madness.
Every day.
It's like we've lost our sense of, I don't know what to say. Like, at one time, human life had a particular value, and it looks like that no longer exists, you know?
With a lot of people.
Yeah.
Some people still, sure.
Yeah.
Boy. Mm-hmm. Let's take some more of these calls. Good morning. You're on the air.
Morning, Dwight, and your guest.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you familiar with that incident of Faith Rathman?
The one in New Providence?
Yeah,
right in Pinewood, South Beach. That was East Street and Bamboo Boulevard, yeah. Right across the street from police station.
The police station is right across.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just a matter of throwing a rock from one to the next. Is that not telling us something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I listened to a video, right? I don't know if you know Gerard Darbo, right?
Mm-hmm.
You familiar with that person, the young man, Mr. Darbo?
Not particularly. I'm not.
You know, he had a man.
I think he's a gentleman from Pinewood. Eh? He ran in Pinewood,
mm-hmm.
I think,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I'm listening to a video, right, that he has of, and there are persons who come out with an advice for the government and let them know what they could do, what they shouldn't do, and all that, right? But this video that this young man is trying to get the attention, I think, of the Commission of Police and Minister of National Security, and it makes so much sense if you listen to that. Right? What he basically is saying that these persons who are going around committing these crimes, it's like they have a mask on. And if we take that mask off and shame them or leave them unveiled, uncovered, where a person could know who these persons is in their community. If they live right here in this country, they have their drug houses that they operate in the country. They live either with their family or by themselves, right? Wouldn't it be best if we know who these persons are, who their family are? When you see them, you could say, well, oh, I know you. You know, just name and shame. I mean, we got to, you know, rather than having them just known to the police. Who are these people? You know, when you go out or walk about throughout your community, wouldn't you want to know who these people is? We had a double shooting in Yellow Elder, right, that I'm from. And I don't even know who those persons were. But we had two of them that were, you know, known to police and got killed, I assume. And I don't know who they were. They could have been coming in my place, coming in the yard, or I could have been doing, having them do work for me like I normally do, trying to help them and doing something. So doesn't that idea make sense to you?
You know, we talked about this on Friday on the show. The known to police, the known to police thing is very vague, and what it means exactly, it probably means a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But you're going to be getting yourself into a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Because
known to police is like, you know, hey, you were kind of nearby. Let's talk to you for a second, and we talked to him, but we didn't have any evidence to book him for anything. Mm-hmm. So we know who he is, but we don't. You know, so I don't know. That's that you're looking, you're going to go down a very slippery slope there.
That's tricky. And perhaps it's something that could be done in the community and not, you know, if you know, there's a community outreach or outwatch, okay. Something like that.
I say that, right? Because most of the time when they go and they're crying, they normally would ask the public assistance and help, right? But how could I assist and help when I don't even know who these people are?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be better if I, you know, have an idea of who they are, be more on the lookout or be more alert or, you know, because they are right here. We all are one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they, you know, they're yet here, but yet feel like they are, like these are invaders or something. I feel like the public need to get more involved in who these people are, where they, I mean, because they just move about in the daytime. They go out to the store when we do. They go to the, wherever, you know, they move around.
Well,
who are these people? We only hear of them when they commit a crime and that's it.
I hear you, but, you know, social media is quite interesting. Whenever somebody known to police dies on social media, all kinds of weird comments come up like, oh, yeah, this guy used to be in this girl. Remember when she did that a couple years ago? So I think the community actually does know and has been turning a blind eye to a lot of this.
The community.
I don't think this is a surprise to people. Mm-hmm. When police say known to police, that means that they've been involved. You know, something's happened before. This isn't some saint.
Known criminal.
They've been mixed up with some of the wrong people in the wrong places before. This isn't first time we ever encountered this person. So,
What I'm saying, like persons who would say they know these people, they more or less is going to fare the flocks together. I mean, like good, decent, honest, law-abiding citizen, you know? Person who,
I mean, I think sometimes people are scared.
Say something, watch out for something. Pardon me?
I think maybe people are afraid to get involved if there are criminal activities happening in the neighborhood and you be a rat or whatever. You know, there are some fear attached to that. And then there's people, I don't want to get involved because I don't want no problem. So I don't think it's so black and white. Correct.
Yeah.
We will.
Okay.
Thank you
so much. Appreciate it. It can be complex.
Yeah,
it really
it's complex.
Sometimes these are your relatives, you know.
Correct.
But you might be saving their life if you do. If they're not listening to you, you might be.
And that should be a step that happens before they get to the place of no return where you could just walk up to someone and shoot them in the head.
Well,
right? So intervention should happen at the first or second incident that you recognize or realize something's going awry with my teenage daughter or my teenage son, right?
Or Or 30-year-old.
Because before they get to 30, right. Yeah. You know.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Dwight.
Hi.
Good morning, Mr. Ampopia.
Good morning.
All right. Dwight, listening to you and the WhatsApp and everything, you sound like a lot of vigilante justice.
Mm.
And I wonder if the video, would you say you see the guy walking from so far, did he get on a mask?
He didn't look so.
So you think the people could see who that is?
I mean, who? If you know him,
right.
You know him.
If you know him, yes.
You can see the walk and everything, yes. And the hand movement,
mm-hmm,
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Small gun or big gun?
It looks like a handgun. It looks like a handgun.
Oh, boy. Sound like this.
Somebody knows him, though.
Huh?
Somebody knows him. Someone could recognize him from that video.
But a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. I mean, and I only can recall that first one. But we had another pump attendant shot in the head, right?
Yes.
This was in the day, and this person might have been on a scheme from the prison.
Right, a work release program.
I mean, it mightn't matter now. We could just pray for the person to recover in the hospital or not to die. But, you know, if he known to the police or if he was wearing an ankle bracelet or
we
what.
We have no idea yet. No idea yet. So hopefully we'll learn more today.
Can you find out something for Michael Pintard when he comes in, just in case I don't get a chance to call in or you don't be able to go to the phone?
Mm-hmm.
Find out, like, some of us were suggesting, and some people say this sounds stupid and crazy, that knowing that in the general election, half a million friendly Prime Minister Davis and these leaders of the political parties is be with these so-called in these different areas and stuff, and mixing up with the gang leaders and the criminals and stuff like that, we were suggesting that Prime Minister stop the traveling and try come in the communities and go and find out what the problem is and see if there's anything he could do. I won't suggest that Michael Pintard go along with him. And it is not a joke or nothing like that. Maybe something good might have come out of it. These guys are familiar with these people. This is a small town. Some might be strangers doing these foolishness, but these leaders are familiar and friendly with these criminals and these gang leaders. That's all I have to say.
Okay, interesting. Yep, we'll ask him about that. Thank you. And let's take this call, and we'll get to your many text messages coming in. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Dwight.
Hi.
And good morning to Questa.
Good morning.
Yes, Dwight. Again, we continue to go right down the same road. Now, our Prime Minister, right, see, I have to hit on him because, you know, he's the captain of this ship, and the ship is sinking, and he ain't no place on the ship, right? And that's a problem for a captain, right? We have a Prime Minister who is flying around the place telling the people them that the importance of Haiti and all that. And while that's a fact, right? But hey, we have our own problems inside the Bahamas, and we don't never hear him addressing our problems off our soil or even on our soil. And that's another problem, right? Because people are showing the authorities that, like, yeah, all of the praying and talks you're prepared to do, yeah, we have no interest in that. It don't make no difference to what these people talk or pray. The only thing can cause these young people, in my view, right, is to give for our government the FLM and the PLP, instead of them playing tit for tat, butter for fat, because all of them had the opportunity to put a damage on this crime situation. All of them, none of them are innocent. So I mean, we shouldn't even be wasting our time talking to these people, simply because they come in with the same ideas and information what they had when they was inside the host of assembly, right? But what I'm saying, we need our laws to be changed, right? And then we need enforcement on the enforcers of our laws, right? We need the enforcement to be to the point if the police would be put in a position for not enforcing the law, you have to face some time for it. We have to get serious in this time, man, because at the end of the day, the talks is only talks, right? Because for the last 25 years, almost 30 years, all we was getting from our politicians is talks. It appears like as if they want the citizens to go take over the governance, right, without being elected inside the House of Assembly. That's what I just keep hearing, because every time you hear them, or you have to, the children and the child and the mother and the dog, But what are you doing to cause these people them to think differently than they are thinking?
Yeah.
Just tread them. Just put more cars on. No. Put laws in place, right? Because all when we go all around the world, it's the laws would just keep the same idiot vehemence when they fly off this island. It's the laws would just keep them acting sensible.
Okay.
But they know laws here, so the minute they reach back here, they know.
Well, the enforcement.
Right, the laws here, just enforcement.
Right, have a nice day.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Wow. You know, yesterday on the show, DeQuessa, you said you wanted to be more inconvenienced, right? You wanted
right?
Yes. So, you know, I heard it and I saw it on social media, people complaining about the roadblocks and the police. Like, this is so ridiculous. How,
it
oh my
has
God,
to happen.
Why?
It has to happen.
But you just can't please, can't win. You can't please everybody.
They want something done, but when you do something, it's an inconvenience. You remember years
really
ago
wild.
When there was road work being done on what was before Harrell Road, and there was all this complaining about the inconvenience, the roads being built that take us to the airport, all these different roads. All the complaining was done about these roads. Now everybody happy that they could zoom from one part of the island to the next. There's so many other. The process is not easy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we have to
look at the big picture,
look at the future and understand that the process just isn't easy.
Yeah.
You know, so in any type of improvement, there's going to be a degree of inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just have to buckle up.
Yeah.
For the period of time that, you know, it's inconvenient.
Wow. All right. Let's read these messages before we have to take a break here. And am I accidentally calling that text? Okay, here we go. This person says here, no one is listening. There's nothing we can do about the murders themselves. But yesterday I heard the Director of Communications, the Office of the Prime Minister, Lord Trey Ramming, suggest that one of the things we can do is if you see something, say something. Yes, let the entire country put pressure on this government for whistleblower protection, so if someone sees corruption, they will say where corruption exists.
Mm.
Boy, okay. Looking at the headline of the paper today, right?
Right.
Boy, I tell you.
Right.
Manager testifies, tells the court she was terminated for refusing to pay contractors.
Is there really confidentiality?
When you blow the whistle, when you refuse to do something you feel is wrong,
you gotta fix that.
You get to, anyway. Okay. the text goes on to say, yes, if one sees corruption, they will say where corruption exists. The Director of Immigration and the Director of Transport saw unusual contracts and unusual instructions at their ministries. They said something and they were fired.
Mm.
Brave Davis will say they chose to leave, but we ain't stupid. We need to protect those people. When we root out corruption from all levels of government and the police, starting at the top, we will go a long way to solving the gun problem. And we will show the young boys that everybody, including Parliament, is expected to obey the law. Wow, okay.
Yeah, that went deep.
This person says the safety of the public should be paramount. If that bullet had hit a pump, can you imagine? And right next to the police station.
Yeah. But they don't think consequences.
I mean, has he been arrested yet?
Yeah.
He's still right next to the police. Okay. When the police say someone is known to the police, I believe it means that they are someone who has a criminal record or is a suspect. It could mean that, and it could mean a lot of other things as well. Dwight, your co-host is correct. Life will have no value if people who commit willful, heinous murder are not made to pay with their lives. Did you say that?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I did say we've lost the meaning of the value of life. I think that's the part.
That part. These murderers are out of order, and this is no time for feeding monkeys. Talking about the
I know what they're talking about.
In case someone didn't know, we're just thinking something
else. It wasn't the right picture to use, right? I have mixed feelings on that, though, because... Yes, ultimately, we have a crisis, and the crisis sits at the foot of the leader. However, I am still saying that the leader has placed people in strategic positions who should function in his absence. So if he was here yesterday, would it have made a difference that someone walk up to someone and just shoot them like they, you know? So
I think he was here yesterday.
Yeah, so it didn't make a difference. So where's the Minister of National Security? He's really, really quiet, right?
He was here last week.
In the absence of the Prime Minister, there's a Deputy Prime Minister, right? So there is still leadership in the country who should be vocal, who we should hear, who should be addressing these things in the absence of the prime minister. So if a leader is not, let's just say the leader is sick, someone should step up to the plate and fill those shoes for the community, mm-hmm. right? Him, any leader, like the prime minister doing a walkabout, yes, that would be nice to see. However, when you look at the vast amount of things that the ultimate leader has to do, is it really realistic? Is it really realistic? Mm.
Wow. A few messages before we go to the break. This person says here, we need to make examples of these gangsters. We also need to bring in the Defense Force to use some of their training on these gangsters. This one says here, known to police means that they have a rap sheet or priors, simple as that, or known to be a nuisance to the public. Again, family members have... boy. Okay, I think they meant... I don't know how to put this. breeded these criminals?
Breed?
No, but it's really spelled breaded, but that's not what I mean.
Okay.
I don't think that's what they're doing.
Oh.
But anyway, the family members are cranking them out, maybe you're saying?
Oh, okay.
Maybe. These dudes are a hot mess, and parents took their sons off this rock to save his life, and he turned around and rolled her out and said, I don't know what this part is about. Okay. Correct. Life will have little value, like 25,000 in genocide by Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Goodness gracious. The caller's right. The police want us to assist them, but we have no idea who the criminals are going to court. The media cannot show their face. That's not true. Because the Minister of National Security, first thing he did in this position was stop the media from showing the persons. No, they didn't do that. They did not do that. They just don't let us know when they're doing it, right? And who the people are.
Mm.
So you go up there, you don't know who this one is.
Right.
So it's not that. It's not that.
Mm.
Okay. Dwight, did you see the video of the Jamaican Prime Minister talking tough on the gang problem in Jamaica? I've seen clips, yes. You want to hear, is that what you're saying? You want to hear the leaders of this country talking like that?
Mm.
Okay. Hmm. Can you blame Prime Minister Davis for taking full advantage of the diplomatic perks afforded heads of state? That's more to say, but I'm not going to read that. We had mega roadblocks yesterday, and someone still got shot. This proves nothing, right? Rather than, we need real ideas. Well, okay.
I disagree. Roadblocks happen, and it's a process.
Yeah, it's not going to solve it overnight.
Right, and it's multiple things that need to happen, but that was targeted towards, you know, people without licenses, unexpired car tags, maybe someone that looks suspicious, we want to check your car for guns. So different things.
Right. And you need to hear from the police what they've uncovered with this, right?
As a result.
You'd be surprised.
Right.
Again, these are not I don't know how to put that. That video, that was a hit, right?
Somebody, it was a hit.
That wasn't.
Obviously.
Something
wasn't
random.
No.
Right? So
he walked and went straight to the person.
And when somebody's that determined to do something, the police aren't going to be able to stop a person from doing something like that.
Yeah.
Right? But we have to make it harder for you to get access to the guns and to make it look so easy.
Right.
Right? So I don't know if you can say the roadblocks don't work.
Yeah.
This person says, from the previous responses, I still see that we have victim bashing for crimes. Every one of the miscreants in society is actually a victim of that society. There was nothing offered as a whole by the society for that child at the appropriate age to grasp hold of what to look forward to. When they look at the picture of the Bahamas, they don't see themselves in it, as they are socially pushed forward without a future created for them. Then comes the anger and rebellion, starting off with a few, and each year the number increases as the opportunities become even less as the population grows. I know because my father was gunned down during a robbery at a supermarket in 1983. It has gotten progressively worse every year since. Crime was like a cancer that grew in stages, but now it's at a terminal stage 4 or 5, and the pain has become too unpredictably unbearable to all. I tried to reach out to the Minister of Education after the education system collapsed during COVID to try and get her to start fresh with a new paradigm. Tried to reach out to the Prime Minister. The politicians, when they win an election, become surrounded by so many yes men and women. They begin to live in an echo chamber. No external ideas can be presented if you are not part of that political tribe. An alternative education system needed to be... this is a very long text. An alternative education system needs to be developed as... especially after COVID. Text, I can't read all of this. This is really a book. Oh, yeah. I appreciate you for this. You've given this a lot of thought. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to save this text and go through it and maybe pick off pieces over the next few days. But thank you. Very lengthy. Several chapters. Half of the drivers at accident scenes have no insurance. Why isn't the car impounded? Why isn't it taken away and the driver has to pay a heavy fine and show proof of valid insurance before being able to collect their car? Slackness has gotten us to this point of the crime crisis. More and more people are simply not respecting law and order. I've lost all respect for the police. I'm obviously criminals have also, because they are too busy dabbling in civil matters and escalating situations in a negative way to cause civilians to become vigilantes instead of solving the matter. If someone steals your passport, aren't the police supposed to help you retrieve it? And Roblox are not helpful because criminals make sure their car is straight. Huh?
Really?
What? It's only to make the government more money.
But how would they make money if you're not breaking the law, if you're not getting a ticket for something valid?
So criminals are driving around with insurance licenses?
No.
Really? Well, look at that. Police need to look for criminals instead of harassing civilians on civil matters.
Aren't they looking for criminals on road?
Hey, it's a crime to be driving without without a license and without
insurance.
So you're a criminal, too.
Yeah, you're a criminal too. You may not have murdered someone, but you're breaking the law.
So you think your crime makes you better than the other? No. This is a whole lot. I support the roadblocks, etc. However, I would suggest that they don't do it at peak times and do it in an area where they can pull people over without stopping the traffic. Well, that would defeat the purpose entirely, right? Because the people doing the foolishness are out during
Correct.
The peak hours.
Right. And what we need to do is stop sending a message around to say roadblock here, roadblock there. Circumventing.
You need to arrest those people. Yeah. But can you imagine? That would be wonderful if the people without the insurance would only go out at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And stop hitting the rest of us and causing chaos. But no, they go whenever and wherever they want. So, no. Okay. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're talking with Michael Pintard, the opposition leader and leader of the FNM. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Lightning and the thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder.
Kids were laughing in my classes while I was scheming for the masses. Who do you think you are? Dreaming about being a big star. They say you're basic, they say you're easy, you're always riding.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. We'll begin with a tragedy in Russia. A military transport plane carrying 74 people, most of them Ukrainian prisoners of war, has crashed near Ukraine. Everybody on board was killed, says the governor of the region. No word on what caused the crash. Here at home, Nikki Haley says she is staying in the race for the Republican presidential nomination, though Donald Trump won New Hampshire's first in the nation GOP primary yesterday.
The worst kept secret in politics is how badly the Democrats want to run against Donald Trump. They know Trump is the only Republican in the country who Joe Biden can defeat.
Nikki Haley yesterday in New Hampshire. President Biden won New Hampshire's Democratic primary in a write-in vote. eBay is cutting about 1,000 jobs. I'm Rita Foley.
Got your first look at traffic for the morning, brought to you by RBC. Visit rbc.com/Caribbean for more information. Real-time traffic right now, Milo Butler Highway as usual. Heavy traffic from well south of the Fire Trail roundabout straight up to Tawny Gloom's Darling Highway. Traffic building on Tawny Gloom's Darling Highway as well, west and eastbound at this hour. We've got Blue Hill Road looking busy already from Carmichael straight up to Independence Drive. Already heavy traffic on Independence Drive, especially westbound. And building traffic, well, busy on Prince Charles Drive, especially near Fox Hill Road and Elizabeth Estates, and on the way to Beatrice Avenue if you're heading westbound. And then Soldier Road between, at Soldier Road, Robinson, between Soldier and Old Trail. Heavy traffic there westbound. Also Eastern Road, as usual, from well east of San Susie this morning to about Johnson Road. Heavy traffic westbound for you at this hour. Building traffic on Carmichael westbound to Coral Harbor Road. That's your first look at traffic this morning. We'll have another update after the 8 o'clock news. Morning Blend Traffic brought to you by RBC. Learn more at rbc.com/Caribbean. And time for another check of weather brought to you by Easy Car Sales. We've got fresh to strong east to north to southeasterly breezes and rough seas that will continue across the islands today, courtesy of a robust surface high pressure centered northeast of the area. This is going to allow for a few isolated showers to move across the islands. For today, for all areas, partly cloudy to occasionally cloudy, windy and a bit warm, with a chance of a few brief passing showers today. Small craft advisory in effect. Small craft operators should not venture far from port, and beachgoers should stay out of the water as we're expecting rough surf and dangerous and life-threatening rip currents. Temperatures today getting to around 81 Fahrenheit, 27 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down about 70 Fahrenheit, 21 Celsius. In your extended outlook, that high pressure system is going to move across the area and will continue to slide eastwards and then weaken along with the winds. And that's going to gradually slacken across the area towards the end of the week. So for Thursday, tomorrow, expect a mix of sun and clouds, breezy with a few isolated showers, mainly fair and mild at night. That small craft caution will continue to be in effect. And for Friday, partly sunny, warm and breezy with a chance of a few isolated showers, becoming fair and mild at night. That's your Morning Blend weather check brought to you by Easy Car Sales. Tired of the same old gasoline routine? We'll step into the future today and test drive an electric vehicle from Easy Car Sales. You'll love the electrifying change. Visit easy242.com and dump the pump.
What would you do with extra cash? Plan a trip.
Overhaul my wardrobe.
With CIBC First Caribbean, you can get comfy with savings on your mortgage cost. Buy or build your home or switch your mortgage to us and get up to US $1,000 off the loan application fee. Up to US $2,000 off home insurance. With up to US $10,000 towards switching costs, your pockets will be comfy too. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/get comfy for more information. Conditions apply.
There's a new electric vehicle in town. The Jack brand of SUVs, trucks, sedans, and commercial vans, available only at Easy Car Sales, home of the fully electric vehicle. For a powerful, smooth ride at a fraction of the cost to drive, leave the pump behind and hit the road with Jack. Visit easy242.com to see our brand new Jack models and drop into Easy Car Sales for a test drive. It'll have you singing.
Hit the road with Jack and don't you pump gas no more.
Earning zero interest on your savings at the bank? With as little as $100, you can start earning interest on your money while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank with the Seafeld Savings Express Plan. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at Seafeld, your interest is our interest. Visit Seafeld.com to start now. Seafeld. Growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
Foreign Currency brings you the Africa Giant live in concert. Burna Boy. Burna Boy performing live Saturday, February 17th, taking place at Clifford Park with Burna Boy performing live. Also performing Rich Homie Quan. 38 Afri, Joe Capone, Bax Civelli, Ratty Pinder, Bloody, Fat Shot, Puzzle, Judah the Lion, and Jay Shepherd. Hosted by Natural Empress, Rika C, Hansel, and Aaron Rain. Music by the country's top DJs, Overdose, DJ Tag, DJ Hennessy, DJ Mad Bull, AJ Unruly, DJ Melody, Spilling the Game 2024. Saturday, February 17th, at Clifford Park, with Burna Boy. Get tickets now. The name of the game is to be on the scene.
What would you do with extra cash?
Plan a trip.
Overhaul my wardrobe.
With CIBC First Caribbean, you can get comfy with savings on your mortgage cost. Buy or build your home or switch your mortgage to us and get up to US$1,000 off the loan application fee. Up to US$2,000 off home insurance. With up to US$10,000 towards switching costs, your pockets will be comfy too. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/get comfy for more information. Conditions apply.
At Winnie's, we are different. We don't just use beef. It's fresh, never frozen. Our burgers are square because we never cut corners. Served hot off the grill with fresh lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and American cheese. We believe in fast food done right. Always serving fresh, never frozen beef. Order a hot, juicy Dave single, double, or triple. Made with fresh, never frozen beef. Now only at Wendy's. Different inside and out.
Wherever you're headed, Custom Computers Know-How Team is standing by to help guide you in the East and the West. We now have two convenient locations on Patton Street in Palmdale and our newest store in the Caves Village Shopping Plaza through the Blake Road entrance. Discover the latest products by top international brands and the knowledge you need to unleash tomorrow's technology today. Drop by Custom Computers out East or out West. We're open Saturdays from 10 till 4.
Whether you're looking for your first or new home or even using your existing home as equity, RBC understands that your journey to home ownership is unique. And your mortgage financing should reflect that. That is why at RBC we have dedicated mortgage specialists that provide sound advice and helpful solutions to make your dream home a reality. Best of all, the RBC mortgage team is mobile, flexible, and will meet you almost anywhere. Visit rbc.com/take60seconds to connect with an RBC mortgage specialist.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn along with Duquesa Dean on this Wednesday. And as promised, we are very pleased to have with us opposition leader, FNM leader, Michael Pintard. Good morning, sir. Great to have you with us as always.
Good morning. Good to be back on the show.
Happy New Year and all those wonderful things.
Same to you and to everybody out there. Happy New Year, and I pray that this is your best year ever.
All right, so we've been talking about this every day since the year started. Every morning we have to report on a new murder, a new violent incident. This is a year unlike any I can remember. And you've had a lot to say, of course. Everybody's been talking about this. But the more we talk, the more things stay the same, it seems, right now. Another two shot. It seems they're still alive, and we hope, we wish them all the best. But the violence doesn't seem to have an end. What do you really make of all of this? What do you say to people who are like, no matter how much the opposition talks, the government talks, we're not making any real progress on this?
First, let me say that our hearts go out to the family members of those persons who have died as a result of violence. And I think the often forgotten group are those persons who have been maimed physically and then emotionally and mentally traumatized, because the reality is there would have been more recorded deaths had it not been for a number of medical professionals who have acted swiftly and in a manner that has helped to save lives. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I'd say to Bahamians in general who are listening, who are despairing, that we share in the Free National Movement your concern about the fact that this is a crisis, contrary to what has been said by some key policy makers and senior officials, particularly in law enforcement, that things are in hand. This is a crisis. But notwithstanding the fact that it is a crisis, we can't afford to despair. We need the energy required to do the heavy lifting to change what is happening. And I do not believe for a moment that we do not have the ability to change what is happening in our communities, in our homes, and in our schools. What is missing is careful, consistent coordination by the leadership of the country, and that's across sectors, but chief among the leadership are policymakers. A part of our purpose for being in government is to provide a peaceful and safe environment and then to work with the various stakeholders and provide, where possible, the necessary resources to coordinate a strategy. So if you're not up to the task to coordinate a strategy, and you are willing to say this is happening because humans will do what humans do and you cannot control individual choices, then you may not be up for the task. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about government officials having the ability to completely stop homicides, meaning that there will be zero. Mm-hmm. That's unrealistic. But what we are saying is that we have ample examples of other years where we have done smart things, diligent things, worked cohesively where the numbers have been down. And we have other examples internationally of countries that got angry enough but were coordinated enough to send a clear message through legislation, government policies, programs, projects in order to reduce trends that could destabilize the economy, that could cause the loss of lives of talented citizens, and could deter persons from visiting those countries by virtue of the carnage that was going on. Mm-hmm.
So you don't believe that the crime plan that was updated last week that we saw, that if that were followed to a T, that we would get a handle on most of the issues we're seeing today?
Well, a couple of things about this document that was finally released almost 2.5 years in, by an administration that in advance indicated that it would be ready on day one to address issues like crime in general, violent crimes in particular. So the question has to be asked, but I will jump into the strategy specifically, but the question has to be asked, what has hindered you from releasing this document, which again is a step in the right direction, but obviously with some significant gaps, which we could talk about. And let me just, to anchor that, point out right away, one of the gaps is people want to know, what are your immediate steps? In other words, what is your short-term strategy? We see some of the long-term strategies, which has been restated by both administrations for the last 15, 20 years, and we see some of the long-term strategies. But right now, help us understand on the preventative side, what are your short-term interventions? Mm-hmm. On the interdiction policing side, what are your short-term measures? That would be critical, because I think it's that would have person saying, okay, I can see where this is going. So So on the preventative side, are you doing anything physically different that people could say, I believe this could pay dividends? So I'm not a policing expert, but one thing I do know is that the police, law enforcement in general, government in particular, have identified hotspots throughout the country. Our resources should then be targeted there. So what you are hearing from the public is, we appreciate seeing officers at the roundabouts. That could be potentially useful. Mm-hmm. But we would be even more encouraged if they are in the area where, when you do the mapping of where homicides or short spotter has detected shootings, that we see them there more frequently. Mm-hmm. And in a variety of ways. One, parking a mobile police van, and since we don't have sufficient, parking and having patrol cars, having unmarked cars with the ability to flash lights, which would also give an indication that the potential for police to be, to law enforcement to be in an unmarked car is real. And so people don't know, criminals, potential criminals don't know what to look out for. So they need to have clear indications police is present. And the anticipation that police could be there or come at any moment, that's also critical. So that's the kind of intervention immediately that's required. Secondly, the government has to ensure that it works in coordinating with stakeholders. Churches are highly motivated at the moment, or faith-based organizations. So are cultural organizations. You have Jankudu groups that have massive membership with very insightful leaders who are minded to create a change over the hill. So you have two stakeholders. Then you have the private sector whose livelihood is being threatened because their slim profit margins have to now, a portion of that have to be diverted to security issues. It also affects operating hours for safety considerations for themselves and their staff, etc. They are minded to participate and would contribute if they believe they are contributing to a program or project or a policy position that makes sense and they believe would pay dividends. Mm-hmm. So one immediate strategy is those stakeholders working together to disrupt the normal pattern of behavior that is producing persons who would be robbers, would be murderers, etc. So let me give you a practical example. We have enough intelligence, though it's always good to get more. We know where the dope spot has been for the last 3, 4, 5 years, and in some neighborhoods, the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And we know that some of the violence is related to turf wars over illegal substances being dealt. We also have a sense of who some of the arms dealers are. I'm sure the police has a fair amount of this intelligence because in many neighborhoods, the residents know. And our police, or our law enforcement, our policymakers come from many of these communities. Yeah. So we have to interrupt those patterns. And if you are having I support the prayer. I attended the National Day of Prayer. I go to church regularly. But if you're having a Sinkspiration, a prayer meeting, an outreach ministry door to door in the very areas that are traditionally dominated by persons who are committed to a life of criminality, you will disrupt their pattern of behavior. Mm-hmm. So I'll give one final.
Okay, we got to go to the news in a second, but I just want to ask you really quickly. I mean, yes, those things you're mentioning are wonderful. Now, is it possible that that is part of the strategy? That the police have not told us everything they want to do because they want to surprise some of the criminal elements. Is that a possibility? Say everything?
This portion of it they've said there will be saturation patrols. Mm-hmm. We'll hit the hot spots. That's been said already. But I'm saying, the hotspots are if you move from, and I'll say this before the news, if you go from the top of the hill, from Fort Fincastle all the way to Robinson Road, and if you go from Nassau Street beyond Kemp Road, mm-hmm. through corners, and you go in Pinewood and Nassau Village, Yellow, all the way I grew up, the reality is there are lots of young people in small groups congregating who are negotiating life and death issues without the rest of us interacting with them sufficiently to change the direction of those conversations and decisions.
Okay, we're going to pick this up with Michael Pindar right after the news. Stay with us.
The government refused to develop the region and continue the marginalization and injustice. The youth, so the next people coming after us, I think will be more brutal than what we have done.
Monster calling us fake. No way, no way, no way. Calling me a monster just cause we say it.
We're from the block where it rains, where we create barricades, keep our position away. That's why we strapped with the case. Don't get kidnapped from your place, cause it could happen today. Not knowing how to behave, that is a sign that you made. Just lose your life with the waste, your body found in the lake. You've around and the fishermen found you drowning for days. You know we come from a place where people
people smile, but it's fake. How could they smile if you look around and surrounded by pain? I seen the sky turn to gray. It took the life from the day. It's like the heads of the state ain't comprehending the hate.
We're back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong with Duquesa Dean. We're talking with F&M leader Michael Pintard, having a really great conversation off air. We're going to see if we can get some of that on air. But before the break, you were talking about the gaps, what we've heard so far from the government, and you mentioned legislative gaps as well. Let's talk about some of the things that you hope to hear, would like to hear, would like to have heard from the Minister of National Security or the Prime Minister at this point.
Well, one of the things that's important is for the government to speak with one voice. And it means that the disconnect that you hear between the Prime Minister and various ministers on different issues, whether it was the issue of NIB, whether it was the issue of BPL, you're hearing a fair amount of that, too, in national security. The Prime Minister and the Minister of National Security really should have a similar understanding of the proposed gang legislation. And so they should both be talking about the ways in which they plan to work with stakeholders to bring the best practices of anti-gang legislation that's in other jurisdictions, bring that here in the Bahamas. And so we are prepared to sit down and go through proposed legislation even before it hits the House, so that the House of Assembly, I mean, we had several suite of legislation on financial services that we had discussions with the then opposition in agriculture. Similarly, whether it was the fisheries bill or whatever, we sought to have a discussion. So that by the time you get in the House, you have had an agreement in principle on some of the core aspects of the bill. So that's one of the things that's important. But even in the discussion of gang legislation, the government has to be very careful not to give the public the false impression that where some killings are not gang-related, that it is gang-related. Because some conflicts in neighborhoods have nothing to do with gangs.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm talking about the ones that are ongoing for 5 years, for 10 years, because sometimes it's a couple of families that are in dispute. And what began as an argument between children in a school, their big brothers and uncles got involved, blood was shared, and then there became a pattern of retaliation back and forth. And once somebody dies, it continues. And and again, in some of these conflicts, it's been multiple deaths because of what mushroomed as a fight between children. And it was sometimes it's geographical. It's not gang.
Right.
You from Lizzie, but you from Fox Hill, or you from Yellow Ella, but you from Millennium. Mm-hmm. It could be those kinds of things.
Do you think that's being done to appease the public so that they don't feel like I could randomly be a victim of crime?
Again, I think part of it has been when we say the person is known to the police, that what that does for a segment of our population, whether for the police it's intentional or not intentional, what it does is It then sometimes we emotionally withdraw from that debt because we are like, you know, these are bad boys killing bad boys, when it's not always the case. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, people are catching strays.
Yeah.
2 years, 2 year olds, grandmothers, females catching rides. And we could give, the list goes on. Somebody looking out the window. So by labeling the category, that does not, in my view, validate the debt. That should not give us pause and comfort that, you know, at least that crew out of the way. Because there are some innocent children that love daddy who feels as if they need to avenge daddy, or nobody's going to run up on them, given what they saw happen to their family, their cousin, etc. And so there are some people who are on the sidelines of some of these conflicts lose someone because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time or with the wrong person. And those people on the sideline of a conflict are all of a sudden in the heat of it because, listen, we just tired of this and we know where it's coming from. They've been reported before. Nobody has dealt with it, and we're taking care of it.
Yeah. Mm. We had a caller today, called yesterday. He said that he wants to see the Prime Minister walking about the communities. He wants to see him in the trenches, and he said today he wants to see you with the Prime Minister, you know, together, a united front. What do you make of that? Would that make a difference? Are you open to doing this?
So before we get to that, let me say that I've been working with a group, Each One, Reach One. We've been in St. Barnabas. We have been in the Camp Road area. We've been in multiple areas walking about. Last week, I was in the neighborhood where my mother still lives, in Yellow Elder. And we talk to people on different sides of conflicts trying to fill the role as violence interrupters. And we didn't do this in party colors and didn't go there as a party official. I went there because you know some of the players, you know some of their children who are now involved. So this walkabout, we are doing this, and we're doing this sometimes without the camera. Yes, in many times we're doing it live and people can see, but you need many people doing this given the gravity of our challenges.
And, does it really make a difference?
It does, because sometimes you talk people off a ledge. Hmm.
So let me ask a question, sir. So, you know, we're talking about the fact that there are multi-prongs that will be required to bring some resolve in situations like what you just described. How can communities, yes, everybody wants the government to do something, but what are things that communities can do to bridge these gaps or heal these gaps or capture people before they get in the wrong? So that, you know, you're in Yellow Elder, what could the constituent, what could the community do together to help prevent some of the things that are happening?
One of the things, the parks in all of our communities need to be functional, meaning a place where people can go and recreate. They can actually go and play basketball. There are things that are also for females. There are things for little children. There's a space for seniors to come out and sit down if they desire. Most of our communities lack spaces where they could truly recreate. And so Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture, Culture in the Park, hold more frequent events. Post persons. We have lots of extra bodies in government ministries who can properly be trained to administer community-based program, working with a community policing program to ensure that there's security in the area. We can't surrender the basketball court to brothers who just plan to throw dice, or where on occasion when they get a new piece, they bloody in the sky, you know, just to test it out. I'm just saying we have to have spaces. We also need community centers. So if you have, and you do have an even organized housing project, you have dilapidated homes. Some of those can become community centers in this sense. In our communities, we have guys who are musicians, are rappers, are chatters, are spoken word artists. You could convert one of those homes into a space where people can go and record music. You have people who are artisans, who their front room is converted into a straw pavilion or producing some other artifact. One of those spaces can be that. People need outlet. They need opportunities to generate revenue. They need recreational spaces to breed and to interact. And again, we are not producing sufficient of those spaces, and communities will contribute to those kinds of initiatives. Mm. And the churches truly, along with our Jankunu leaders, etc., can come out of the wars, can work in the community to mentor our kids. One of the things I mentioned at the press conference is that we need to have an organization fair. Let's put the technical cadet, the rangers, pathfinders, brigade scout, a whole Rotaract. Let's go into communities, recruit young people who are unattached so that their time and energies are not available to the fella who want to say to the young boy, man, you ain't gonna do big man jail. Give him a piece, a couple of dollars to run up on somebody. You could talk to the young girls and say to the young girls, here's a program.
Wow.
It's an exchange program too. We travel, you're teaching etiquette, etc. One of the things we say when we walk through communities to the little girls, if you in school and your boyfriend tapping you up, if you wife him, what? He can kill you. So we're saying to even girls to make the correct choices of the guys who you are going to be spending time with, because there are consequences in the long run. With respect to the question of walking through the prime minister, we have been open to collaborating with the government. But if we just can walk, and you're not going to allocate funds to acquiring some of the bush over the hill or dilapidated buildings to convert it into something constructive that people can use. Think about it. If you live in a number of our over the hill communities, where is the community center? Where is the green space? Where is the accompanying legislation that put severe penalties for operating in close proximity to a school or a recreational space? All of these It has to be an integrated approach. Legislation that supports community-based programs that's being put in place. Incentives for business persons and non-governmental agencies who are minded to do some of these programs themselves. Because government can't do everything. That's the reality. But government can coordinate.
Mm. Yeah. All right. So people have been saying this for a couple of days now, that the issue here is that they're looking at our leaders who aren't disclosing. They aren't doing all kinds of things. There's always the corruption talk. And because of the challenges at the top, this is why we're having all these problems on the ground level.
I think they're right to mm-hmm. a large extent. That's part of the reason. That's mm-hmm. part of, so a lot of people are independent actors. And so your question with respect to that is whether or not we then need to function differently as adults.
Well, practicing what you preach, right? And people saying that if you're getting away with this at the top, not doing what you're supposed to do, why should we do what we are allegedly supposed to be doing?
Agreed. Mm-hmm. So again, public disclosure is a very serious issue. I've been requesting the list, for example, of all the members of parliament who have disclosed. I've not been able to get it, and I think there should be a legal requirement that both parties
are
provided.
Since the entire time you've been the leader of the opposition, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying I've not seen the list of who has disclosed and not disclosed. We know some of the senators who have not. Correct.
So, every year you have that challenge.
Yes, I've not seen the list, and so I think there should be a requirement to disclose whether or not persons have disclosed, and that's something that we will definitely stop. I saw an interesting headline that you had that I don't think fully reflects what the view is, because in the heart of the article concerning campaign finance reform, I mentioned several things that have to be looked at. Mm-hmm. Government officials should disclose whether or not, if you single source, meaning you don't go through the competitive bidding, you provide a contract to somebody, you ought to declare, is there a relationship? Is this a blood relationship? Is this a romantic relationship? Is this somebody who has been a consistent campaign donor to you? In other words, it is important for us, in the full light of day, to be transparent about what is motivating government decisions. Mm-hmm. And so to that extent, just so I could be, as the lawyers like to say, pellucidly clear, crystal clear, it is important for us to indicate source of funds, particularly if I'm a government minister or prime minister and we are allocating contracts that's not going through competitive processes. People need to know what is motivating that. Mm-hmm. And then also there are certain types of donors that you should not then receive funds from, right? So if everybody know that this particular person is a serial gun runner, is that somebody that's writing a check to government or providing resources, et cetera? That's an important thing for people to know.
So you're saying this headline is not correct? No, you do not believe that there is no appetite for campaign finance?
No, I do believe that.
No.
I do believe. Listen, you have a government that's been in place for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Have they moved on it? I do not believe
we
they have an appetite.
Any previous administration really move on it?
Again,
so is that across the board in the Bahamas, you think?
Again, the fact that we have not moved on it means that there is not an appetite for it. Mm-hmm. That's my impression. Because if you are in the chair, you have access to more resources. You are not interested in restricting the spigot. You want as much to come through that as possible for you to continue in power. Mm-hmm. So governments are slow in moving on these matters. Mm-hmm. For me, what I do not like doing is speaking policy without asking my colleagues and the rank and file of the party, what is your view? So that when I speak, I'm not making the distinction between this is what I believe and this is what the party's position is.
But you agree that we need campaign finance reform?
The bulk of the article clearly indicates suggestions on areas that have to be tackled in campaign finance reform. And I just mentioned a couple of them. We need to make sure certain groups that are contributing, you are not by law allowed to receive funds from them, given on who they are and the source of the funds that you are receiving. Yeah. So that's extremely important. The other thing is, when you see the government as they are now violating the procurement law, not being willing to say who they have given a contract to, for what length of time, and what are the terms, etc., it begs the question, are you repaying a debt? Mm-hmm. Again, you want to protect, and sometimes they may not.
So I want to protect the company that may, the government may have had some legitimate reasons for single sourcing them, but they should state it publicly. But I want to protect that by saying, listen, here's a procurement process. Follow the law so you don't leave, you don't put a cloud over this company's head. And the company should act in its own interest and not allow the government to enter into an arrangement with them that they can't fully explain, because now when a new administration comes in, they can look at you with screw face. Mm-hmm. And so...
So we're just curious. So if you should win the next general election, how soon into your term would you move to have the campaign finance reform legislation?
So listen, within the first year, we would ensure that the Procurement Act is followed to the T, right? And if there is some inconvenience, as the government likes to say, the software does not permit us to report it in the way that we need, then you explain that to the public, but then you fund the technology company required to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things. We're committed to that transparency. We are committed to reporting on the things the government, this government, criticized the previous government on, is we don't know what happened to the COVID spending. Well, you've been in power 2.5 years. You mean you can't report on that? We'll report on it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's, those are things we could do within the first year. The second thing we can do is you can set requirements on who should not be contributing, or who public officials should not be receiving funds from. That is something we can do within the first year.
Okay. All right. We're running out of time because you have to go, and you're going to tell us about that in a moment. But really quickly, you've been saying a lot about capital punishment in the last few days. What is your position officially on capital punishment? Do you think that would make a difference in what we're seeing right now with crime?
Right. See, this is yet another one of those topics, much like campaign finance reform. The Free National Movement as an organization, we normally sit down, we talk about a list of proposed positions in terms of the legislation, the policies, etc., and then we're able to state that publicly. As a party on the issue of capital punishment, we have not. And so what I've said, out of respect for all of my colleagues, and we have polled the top tier of the party, and we've asked, what is your position? A number of us personally believe that it is on the books. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that successive governments in recent times have not been minded to pursue it. And why do we say that? We say if you were minded
previous F&M governments.
Correct.
Right?
I said we are previous. And so what I'm saying is, our view is, if you wish to speed up the process on capital punishment, because if you don't speed up the process to force somebody who is on death row to exhaust their appeals, they would then be on death row beyond the period of time. I think it's 5 years if you're on death row beyond that period of time under the threat of capital punishment. Then the courts consider it to be cruel and unusual punishment, and therefore there'll be no possibility of you being put to death for committing a crime, a heinous crime. And so our view is, read the dead warrant. Get the persons who have been convicted, who, because of the nature of the crime, because obviously not all homicides in the minds of many members of the public are the same. In other words, some crimes are absolutely heinous. It's the worst of the worst, and this person ought to be put to death. Well, when they are sentenced to death, read the death warrants, force them to exhaust their appeals. When they have exhausted their appeals, then let the law run its course. A number of us firmly believe that view. There are some members who say, listen, we need to look at the possibility of keeping the criminal side of the Privy Council, keeping the commercial side of the Privy Council and getting rid of the criminal side, and that should be done here in the Bahamas, where our sensibilities are different than those in Great Britain. That's a discussion we have to have. That's not something I could speak into existence on behalf of the organization. We will discuss that. Mm-hmm. The second thing that has been raised is we have a flawed system. And one of the things, when you talk about capital punishment, you want to guard against, that in your frustration with the failures of the system and gaps of the system, mm-hmm. you don't rush to that police officers, from the point of arrest to prosecution to sentencing, we end up hanging an innocent person.
Right?
Meaning, so one of the things we have to do, even for those of us who have historically been on the record saying we support capital punishment, we want to make sure that the wrong fella didn't get picked up because somebody under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And that he didn't sign a statement under duress, mm-hmm. right? And we want to make sure that that conviction is a righteous conviction. Now, there's a cynical view because people are so frustrated that say, man, you know, well, sometimes you can get a couple of innocent ones in there. Well, you know, that's not something I'm prepared mm-hmm. to support. I want us to fix the system from the point of arrest to prosecution so that the sentencing can be a just sentence. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But do we need to send a message? Of course we need to. Will that solve all of the potential murders? No, it will not. Mm-hmm. Will it have an impact? I believe it can.
You believe again. All right. So this texter is imploring me to make you state your position, not just the party. You believe it can make a difference.
Oh, can it make a difference? Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. There are some people who will give consideration. Because some guys say, listen, bro, I ain't scared to go to jail for you, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, will he pause if he thinks it's not just jail, but he will no longer be around? Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is for some persons who are engaged in the kinds of killings that are happening, sometimes it's not merely an issue of deterrent, it's an issue of ultimate punishment for you consciously making an ultimately bad decision to snuff out several persons' lives.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Wow. All right, so you're leaving here to go to Rawson Square, Parliament Square. You have a protest.
We've encouraged persons to come downtown. Just to say to lawmakers, we need you focused on the job at hand at home and work with stakeholders, including the opposition, in coordinating a multi-pronged approach to deal with this issue, but talk a lot about what are the immediate steps you intend to take, as well as medium term, long term. Mm-hmm. We are prepared to work in collaboration with the government. We've demonstrated it before. I will restate this again. I attended the briefing. So that a statement was made yesterday about I attended the meeting. I was there for 50% probably of the meeting. Nonsense. I was there for, I heard every presentation made by the Prime Minister, National Security, all the top rank of the police and the stakeholders in the room. Mm-hmm. So again, it was a briefing. It was not a conclave to have a discussion about mm-hmm. whether we need a crime commission that is working 24/7 populated by different stakeholders, not just government officials, to address this issue, preventative part, the detection and the policing, prosecution, rehabilitation, etc. We need that kind of commission. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, we are prepared to work in tandem. But we ask people come downtown, 9:30, be there. Let parliamentarians know that you are aware we could do better.
Mm. To those who are questioning why you're doing this and to say and who are saying that you're politicizing this crime matter, what do you say to those people?
You know, I can't say what I said at the press conference because I really did ask a tough question when somebody said that. But listen, without knowing your story, I'm confident you have somebody in your family who you went to school with is on one side of a charge of murder or armed robbery or some serious heinous crime, or you've had a relative or a friend or somebody you know who has been murdered or maimed or raped. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So again, I live in this society. Outside of me as the leader of the opposition, all of the ministers in this government have multiple police officers that are protecting them. The two-year-old didn't. The Grammy didn't. Mm. The person shot through the house because a stray bullet hit them. I lost a nephew to gun violence. I lost all the brothers who were stabbed to death. I'm just saying, I lost a brother who was stabbed to death. I've lost relatives like many other Bahamians. Mm. And so whether it happened 20 years, 30 years ago, or it's happening today, all of us, one way or another, we have heard the stories of family members or know the story directly who have been murdered. And so we have an obligation to step up. Mm-hmm. I happen to wear the hat as Member of Parliament for Marco City and leader of the opposition. So it is now my job to deal with it. This is my job. I'm doing my job. My job is to say, you have been elected or appointed to coordinate other stakeholders to address this issue that's shedding blood in our streets, in our schools, in our homes. People who are being traumatized because of rape, who are being traumatized by armed robbery or threats, we have an obligation to get involved. And not only are the criminals known to the police, they are known to policymakers as well. Since we know, some may want to say they don't, okay, so let's say there are those who know, why aren't we talking with each other and with other stakeholders on how to reach those that are known? Some are issued government contracts. We've had conflicts recently, and on both sides, the side that was accused and the side that received, and the side that accused of the killing and those who died, all persons who worked in one way or another with sitting MP in a campaign or benefited from a contract, and we're not implicating a member of parliament in any way. All we are saying, since we know these people, is there more we could do? Could we talk more? We would talk in camera, and I wouldn't be on the show saying that the government needs to collaborate with us, because we are not talking otherwise about solving this problem. That's the reality. This is my job. So I'm doing my job. But even if it wasn't my job, I would be addressing this issue, because I have a history of having done that. As a 19-year-old on sudden recreation ground, I spoke to thousands of Bahamians calling for stiffer penalties for rape offenders as a 19-year-old student at the College of the Bahamas. So this isn't new to me. This is what I've been doing my whole life. As a non-voting resident of Mount Pleasant, I joined others. Marvin Dames was a part of that. Franklin Monroe, Carla Reckley, all of us were students in high school. And we protested against a sitting MP who couldn't get lights on the park. So this isn't just about politics. I happen to be a community activist who ended up in politics. And when the people decide they don't want me no more, I can go back and still work for my country. Mm-hmm. So this nonsense about we're doing it for political brownie points, people dying, people being maimed, people are fearful. Rich people can't enjoy their money because the bottom line is they're reluctant to go out. You don't walk on the beach with your boo or snooks. You just ain't, that's a fantasy. Because people are not doing it. They are fearful. Mm-hmm. I believe I'm a soldier, but at the end of the day, I'm looking around nowadays. Mm-hmm. I'm checking before I pull into where I live when I come out.
Better.
Yeah.
So 9:30 today.
9:30 today. Come out, lift your voices.
Yeah.
I believe that we can make a difference. All is not lost. And I believe that you have to keep the faith and work in a coordinated way to reach our children in order to get them to change. Those that are not minded to change, then the full brunt of the law must deal with them.
Yeah. Michael Pindarn, opposition leader, FNM leader, thank you so much for being with us this morning, giving us some extra time there. I appreciate it. And we're going to have you back soon. We're going to talk. I need to do a whole show with you on Grand Bahama.
I look forward to it.
I'll give you a call very soon. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate
it.
We're going to take a break and be back. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Sherwin-Williams Bahamas doesn't mess about when it comes to product range and product knowledge.
If it's a new product coming to store, we walk the store and study that product.
One thing with our boss, if a new product comes in, he takes the time and he's always keeping us up to date with product knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had 9 weeks of different products that we had to study, and we had exams at the end of each product.
Yeah.
The only way we could sell the product effective, we have to know that product. Yeah, that helps us to relate to our customers. It gives us better knowledge to know what product to introduce to them. You understand? So we can know what product to give them to use and what product not to give them to use.
Mm-hmm.
So product knowledge is really key in Sherwin-Williams.
They got the keys. And the key is the product knowledge that comes with our extensive product range at Sherwin-Williams Paints, Bahamas. Find color in every day.
At RBC, we know buying your new ride is a very personal experience with many decisions to make. That's why we leave the car choice to you and ask that you leave the rest to one of our RBC Auto Finance specialists trained to provide sound advice and helpful solutions to make your dream car a reality. The RBC Auto Finance team is mobile, flexible, and will meet you almost anywhere. Visit rbc.com/lovemyride to connect with an RBC Auto Finance specialist in your area.
Doctors Hospital has reimagined primary care. We have invested to improve our health system, ensuring that accessible, affordable, world-class clinical care is closer to you. We understand that your relationship with a primary care provider shapes the foundation of your overall health. Our new modern primary care facilities are where critical diagnoses and true personalized treatment begins. With locations across New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma, we invite you to experience the Doctors Hospital difference. Book your next appointment at clinics.doctorshosp.com.
Aha.com.
Champ, baby girl, cable guy is here.
Since the very beginning, you have been with us.
This is called Waze, and this is called the internet.
Okay.
For over two decades, we've been with you every step of the way.
Camila Weibo is total class. Look at her go. She's in front.
My fellow Bahamian president.
So, yeah, times may have changed, and so have your needs as our valued customers. But some connections stand the test of time. Red, we're with you.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Wherever you're headed, the Custom Computers Know-How team is standing by to help guide you in the East and the West. We now have two convenient locations on Patton Street in Palmdale and our newest store in the Caves Village Shopping Plaza through the Blake Road entrance. Discover the latest products by top international brands and the knowledge you need to unleash tomorrow's technology today. Drop by Custom Computers out east or out west. We're open Saturdays from 10 till 4.
Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Street, has those hard-to-find fasteners for you right now. You can find stainless steel regular hex, carriage bolts, galvanized bolts, threaded rods, nails, self-tap screws, sex bolts, anchor bolts, turnbuckles, masonry tools, hand tools, and weed whacker strings. Check out the rope selection and car body fasteners, too. Special orders are welcome. It's your number one fastener store. Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Streets. Call 326-1976.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be.
Let's get your weather check in, brought to you by Sherwin-Williams Paints. Here's what's happening. We've got fresh to strong winds, a strong high pressure system, and that's generating fresh strong winds, east to southeasterly breezes and rough seas across the islands as a result of that high pressure system that's just north of the area. The setup is going to allow for a few isolated showers as well, and expect hazardous boating and beaching conditions to continue, and boaters are urged to not venture far from port due to the rough seas, and beachgoers should refrain from entering the waters due to rough surf and dangerous and life-threatening rip currents. For all areas today, forecast calls for partly cloudy to occasionally cloudy, windy, and warm conditions with a chance of a few brief passing showers. Small craft advisories in effect. Small craft operators should not venture far from port. Temperatures today getting up to around 81 Fahrenheit, 27 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to 70 Fahrenheit, 21 Celsius. In your extended outlook, that high pressure system is going to slide eastwards and weaken, allowing winds to gradually slacken across the area towards the end of the week. So for Thursday tomorrow, expect a mix of sun and clouds, breezy conditions, isolated showers, mainly fair and warm, and at night. Friday, partly sunny, warm, breezy, with a slight chance of isolated showers, becoming fair and mild at night. That's your morning blend Weather Check, brought to you by Sherwin-Williams Paints. Sherwin-Williams Paints got you covered for all your painting and equipment needs. Visit Sherwin-Williams Paints online or in-store today. And let's get another check of your traffic in, brought to you by RBC. Visit rbc.com/Caribbean for more information. And right now in your real-time traffic, we are still seeing heavy traffic on Milo Butler Highway. It's now just north of Fire Trail roundabout. It's still at Fire Trail, straight up to Tony Williams Darling Highway at this hour. Heavy traffic there, and traffic still backed up along Fire Trail eastbound at this hour. Glasser Road looking better for you. Just as you approach Mining Road, you'll see that heavy traffic for you right now, northbound. But West Bay Street, very busy for you as you approach the roundabout with New Providence Highway. That's near Saunders Beach. And then as you're entering the downtown area, just east of Arawak Key, heading near Nassau Street, you can see heavy traffic for you eastbound at this hour. Independence Drive, both directions, east and westbound, you're going to see traffic between those roundabouts at East Street and Blue Hill Road. Blue Hill Road looking busy for you, especially north of Soldier Road, straight through to Cordo Avenue. And that area is looking very congested for you at this hour. Wolf Road, lots of traffic both directions. And Robbins Road, still slow-moving traffic between Soldier and Old Trail. Eastern Road, just east of Fox Hill to about Johnson Road right now, still bumper to bumper. That's what we're looking at. That's your real-time traffic and your Morning Glen Traffic Alert, brought to you by RBC. Learn more at rbc.com/Caribbean. Here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strano has requested Dean. It's been an interesting morning. Rearranged some things, so yeah. It's going to be keeping us on our toes here today. All right, so we are changing gears now, talking about cervical cancer. It is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month this month, and Duquesne is changing hats now.
Yes. You're
part of the GD Caring and Sharing. Is that right?
Yes.
And this morning we're going to talk about cervical cancer and what you need to know. We're very pleased to have with us Tarika Johnson and Shakira Sears. Ladies, good morning. Great to have you with us.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Get a little closer to the mic there. Yes, good morning. And then we've got on Zoom as well, right? Good morning. She's still there? Oh, she's muted. Okay, unmute yourself.
Hi, Tarika.
Can you hear us, Tarika? All right, we're going to get that sorted out. But let's talk about it. Cervical cancer is a little bit different from some other cancers.
Yes, it is. It is caused by the HPV virus, and almost every individual has had about HPV at some point in their life. Like, it's really, really common. It's
men just and women.
Men and women, because it's like a people virus, right? And so human papillomavirus is passed from person to person through bodily contact and fluid and that sort of stuff. Typically, when I talk about it, I share that HPV infection in men is really what increases a cervical cancer diagnosis in women. Mm-hmm. Men carry it and deposit it when you have unprotected.
So it's sexually transmitted.
Yes, it is a highly percentage sexually transmitted.
Right.
And so the human papillary, so that means that is one of the most preventable, one of the most treatable cancers. Mm-hmm. We have seen an increase in cervical cancer diagnoses here in the Bahamas. The last statistics I read, there were 38 women diagnosed, and of that 28 of those women died. And so no one has to die. 36 diagnosed, mm-hmm. and of that, 28 of them died.
What?
And no woman has to die from cervical cancer. It is one of the most curable. Cervical cancer is, you have to pay attention to your body, because the body does give off signs and symptoms to let you know that something is going on.
Right.
One of the best things that you can do for your young children, your young daughter, or your young son, is to get them vaccinated with the HPV vaccination. If you vaccinate your young daughter, she will never get cervical cancer. The vaccination will prevent that. And so you can protect her future by making sure that she is vaccinated, and vaccinate your young boy so that they don't carry it from woman to woman.
Mm-hmm.
What might be some of the symptoms, I guess? Shakira, you have that?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Yes, again, good morning. Okay, and so there are five common symptoms, okay? Warning signs to women that they can pay close attention to from their bodies. And the first one is the abdominal vaginal bleeding. Okay, this is where unusual vaginal bleeding may occur between menstrual periods, after sexual intercourse, or after menopause. And this can include a heavier or prolonged menstrual bleeding, as well as spotting. Okay, and then the second symptom they can look out for is unusual vaginal discharge. And this is where there's an increased vaginal discharge that is watery, bloody, or has a foul odor. And that may be a sign of cervical cancer. Okay? So it's very important not to avoid these symptoms. There are significant changes, maybe, you know, in the fluid discharge from your body. Check that out. Consistency also in the smell of the vaginal discharge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then we have a third symptom, which is the pelvic pain. So it's so persistent. It's unexplainable. The pelvic pain is just so unexplainable that it may radiate to the lower back pain. Your lower legs and back, you feel excessive pain. And so you need to check that as well. That should not be ignored, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So ladies, if you're experiencing these severe pelvic pains, we encourage you to go ahead and have yourself checked out to make sure that you do not have cervical cancer.
Right.
Okay.
Now, some of those symptoms, people might try to treat themselves.
Right. Or they explain away.
Right.
Right.
With the products they can buy in stores.
Right.
But
I guess
if it's not going to work,
right.
You know that you need to see a doctor.
Right. If it's not going away. Right. I'm going to tell you very quickly how you can confirm whether or not you have cervical cancer. But mm-hmm. I think there are two more symptoms.
There are two more. Okay. The fourth one is pain or discomfort during sexual intercourse. Okay. So dyspareunia or the pain during sexual intercourse can be a symptom of cervical cancer as well. If you feel a lot of discomfort during intercourse, I want you to know that, and it's constantly recurring, you need to go and have yourself tested, a check out, okay? We encourage you to go and have medical advice, okay? And then the fifth one is urinary symptoms, where cervical cancer may be caused through urinary symptoms such as blood in the urine, frequent frequent pain during urination, and you can go and check that out as well, because something has to be wrong, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a final
symptom, Dwight, that I want to share is, sometimes, when we're having fun and we're enjoying the pleasures of the flesh, because, we're married and the married bed is undefiled, right? So you might do a bunch of different things, jump off the chandelier, all these different things, right? So what you want to do before you taste it is inspect it. Right? Because genital warts are indication of cervical cancer. So before you say, hey, I just want, enjoy this and taste this and whatever, you want to look and see what is there.
This is your message to everybody, men and women.
Right, because the man will have the warts as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see a man has a wart, you ask him to go and get tested for HPV. If you see a woman with the warts in the genital area, ask them to go and get tested. We like to tell people go get tested for HIV, but we want to make sure that you're also testing for HPV and looking out for the symptoms of HPV as well. As women, we explain away. You know, they like to hit.
So you got to stop the show.
Right. You got to stop it. Okay. Right. You
we'll
got to stop it.
Yes, yes.
After you then get your test, because you put in your life at risk, right? So cervical cancer is easy to catch, but it's very, very preventable. So how do you prevent cervical cancer? By practicing safe sex.
Yeah. Well,
that's important.
So this means that you can be very young.
Yeah, you can be as long as you're sexually active.
As long as you're sexually active.
As long as you're sexually active.
All right, so we'll get back to this in a second. I just want to know, I mean, we know we've done many shows before on the HPV vaccine. We know when this was first introduced here, there was some resistance because of some bizarre thinking that this would encourage girls, and I guess boys too, to start becoming sexually active, which I hope that type of thinking has gone away. What are you seeing or hearing? What are people saying to you?
I'm finding that people are still reluctant to have the vaccination done. For that very reason, it gives permission for their teenage children to...
Does that make any sense?
It doesn't, because they kiss in. I mean, it's just human nature, right? But on top of that, like, it's a protection of their future that you're actually getting this vaccination for, which is really so much more greater than, oh, I'm telling them to go and have sex. If they have sex, they are now protected from cervical cancer. So, and it's not a vaccination that's designed to wipe out the population either. It's a vaccination designed to help protect the future of your children. And thousands of children have actually had this vaccination here in the Bahamas as well.
Yeah. Tarika, are you with us? Did we get you sorted out? I'm still having an issue there. Okay, so let's talk about it. How do you determine, once you go to the doctor, how will it be determined that you have cervical cancer?
It's done by a pap smear. So I want to encourage every sexually active woman to ensure that you have an annual physical.
Yes.
Go to the doctor and get your pap smear done. I've heard women say, oh, the pap smear is uncomfortable. I don't think it is that much more uncomfortable than receiving the pleasure of the flesh, right? Because it's like the same type tool. It might be steel. It may be a little
cold. Right.
Right. So. But, you know, that small margin of discomfort to just understand where you stand on the spectrum of whether you have abnormal cells or not is definitely worth it. Now, if you have abnormal cells, does that mean that you have cancer? It doesn't necessarily mean that you have cervical cancer, because there are non-cancerous cells, there are precancerous cells, and then there are cancerous cells as well. And only a doctor can determine that. They do a swab, they send it to the lab. The lab, under a microscope, can see what a normal cell looks like and what a cancerous cell looks like. So if you do your pap smear annually, you're giving yourself the best chance of catching this in the butt. And cervical cancer is treated in multiple ways. If you catch it early enough, believe it or not, the doctor could burn the cells off. Like, you could just go lay on the bed, just like you do a pap smear, and the doctor can insert and burn the actual precancerous cells off. It's something they also do called a schoonoscope. They just scrape out the bad cells before it turns to cancer. When you get to stage one, stage two, stage three, cervical cancer, you know something is wrong with your body. Like, your body tells you, like the women, like the men, they don't get cervical cancer, but they'll carry it from place to place to place, right? So if you have a dude that you believe is being unfaithful to you and have multiple partners that he is sleeping with, I'm going to encourage you to, you know, really have a self-talk. Because that's a huge risk for you. So if you are pre-cancer diagnosis, you already have symptoms. You have a little odor, right? You have a little discharge. So there's something already going down there. If you ignore it at stage one and you go to stage two, then it's going to get worse, progressively worse. So you have to pay attention. What I encourage women to do is to take your finger, insert it, and smell it.
Oh, God.
That tells you what a normal scent is. I mean, we let guys do it, so that'll tell you what your normal scent is. So you test that just like you do the blood test, the breast test, I'm sorry. You know, you test regularly to make sure that your scent is still normal. But is it preventable?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is preventable. And here we are stressing the importance of regular pap smears and cervical screenings for women. It's very important, okay? Regular pap smears and cervical screenings are vital for early detection of cervical cells or precancerous changes, okay? These screenings can be detected through early signs of cervical cancer before it progresses, like Mr. Quessa just said, mm-hmm. to the advanced stage, okay?
Okay. Let's see if we get Tarika up. Are you there, Tarika? You're still muted. Unmute yourself for us, please. We really want to talk with you.
Yes, Tarika. Unmute yourself. Okay, I'm reaching out to her.
Yep. Okay. All right, so you've got something happening tomorrow, is that right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So we're actually having a What Every Woman Should Know About Cervical Cancer Zoom seminar, mm-hmm. and we're inviting everyone, men and women included, to join this conversation. Men also need to be educated because they are the carriers. So they need to be educated about what part they play in causing women to get cervical cancer. So we're encouraging men and women to come out. It starts at 7:00 p.m. It is on Zoom. We do have a link that you use to register. Once you register, we will send you the information for how to log on to the call. It's going to be 45 minutes maximum, and then there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions, and so that may take us a little further. But once the presentation is done and you have no questions, you can leave. We have Dr. Hall Dennis coming in. She is OBGYN. So she is coming to talk to us in depth about cervical cancer, its prevention, its detection, and its treatment. Mm-hmm. It's a free Zoom seminar. Mm-hmm. We're just encouraging you to log on. We need to get the word out that it is on the increase here in the Bahamas.
Yeah. All right. One more time with Tarika. Are you there, Tarika? Tarika Johnson.
I don't know what's happening with Tarika's phone. So,
okay, so we're having an issue there.
Yeah.
But she is a survivor.
Yeah, she is
so
a survivor.
Hopefully one day we'll have her on. We can tell her story. But this is not a death sentence.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. We have quite a number of, we have a few cervical cancer patients now and survivors in our group. They are here as a testimony that you can get this diagnosis and you can be treated. We are advocating, for less cervical cancer diagnoses by having this information available for people to know how you get it, mm-hmm. so you know how to protect yourself from it.
Okay. Really quickly, I'm running out of time, but I just want to read this message. This person says here, and this shows a lot of misinformation about all of this. This person says that HPV jab is a recent thing. If it were, as they say, we would have had this problem longer. What are you talking about here? They have found a way to involve the man in this equation. Okay. Just like autism, what? This HPV is a new thing. It's certainly not.
It's not new.
Very confused.
They say,
I don't trust all these vaccines. Oh, boy. You'd be a fool if you think the medical industry is concerned about cures. That's very sad that you are so confused.
Yeah.
HPV.
Yeah.
Thousands of people have died. Women have died from cervical cancer.
As a matter of fact, a woman dies every 2 minutes globally
from cervical cancer. This is madness, right?
And it's not that you're finding a way to insert the man. The man is involved. It is a human disease.
Literally inserting the problem, right.
Uh-huh. It is a human disease. Women get it. Men get it. It's just men carry it. So the vaccination helps with the prevention of the diagnosis.
Okay. And Tarika, are you there finally with us?
I'm finally.
Oh, wow. Yay. Okay. So we're going to have to do this again when we have more time. But really quickly, in about a minute or so, tell us your story and this journey that you've been on.
Well, I first got my diagnosis in 2017, April of 2017. It was a journey, but I had to make up in my mind, I'm going to be positive and fight this and win. I started chemo. I did radiation. It all went successful. I had a good team of doctors. And I am now heading into my seventh year as a survivor.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow. Wonderful stuff. We're so happy to hear that.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing the story. And a lot of people don't like to talk about this one. But thank you so much. And hopefully we'll have you for a more in-depth discussion and we'll work on the technology there.
So before you go, just check us out on social media with GD Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group. Or you can check our website out at gdcancersupportgroup.com. The login information is there. So that you can join the virtual seminar tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. And let's help spread the message on how to prevent or detect cervical cancer.
Okay. Duquesa Dean, thank you so much.
You.
And Shakira Sears, Tarika Johnson, thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, it's GD Sharing and Caring. Caring and Sharing.
Yes,
support
Sharing.
Group. Thank you, thank you. And you're going to stick around.
I
course.
Will, yes.
Well, we're going to take a break and be back. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Up to be somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Wake up, today. Wake up, it's a new day.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Blend Business on this Wednesday, January 24th, 2024. Welcome back to Morning Blend listeners. Dwight Strawn along with Duquesa Dean. Just want to say really quickly, today is January 24th, which means we are 1 month away from February 24th,
yes.
Which is 242 day. And remember, folks, we want that to be every year. It's on Saturday this year, so get thinking. What are you going to do to celebrate 242 day? This February 24th, right? All right. So we've got a special edition of the show today. They're here usually once a month, but they're back with us for something a little bit different. Our friends from Bristol Wines and Spirits. We've got Kyle Stubbs, Tori Saunders, and Zena Williams with us this morning. Not wine today. Not wine today, right?
Not maybe.
Yeah. Well, not by
it
itself.
It might show up, right.
Right,
yeah, but
right.
You won't shortcut you.
What are we doing today?
Well, you know, a couple of things. Last week, we got into such a good conversation that we didn't have an opportunity to say what's coming up event-wise and tasting-wise and educational-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also, you know, Zena on a daily basis reminds me of the numbers that we're moving of Amaro, and it seems to be a stickler.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just wanted to come back and show one or two ways that we can use the Amaro in cocktails as opposed to just drinking it neat or on the rocks or treating it like Campari with some kind of citrus, orange juice, or pink grapefruit or that kind of stuff.
Wow. For those who missed it, remind folks what Amaro is all about.
So Amaro is a local digestive. Made from cascarilla bark, allspice leaf, a couple of other things, a nice proprietary blend of seven spices, 100% local. It's a project that's led by the our president at Bristol Group of Companies, Mr. Juan Bacardi. The master distiller is a Bahamian, Mr. Andy Fowler. And the whole thing was, how do we take these indigenous raw products and turn them into a beverage of choice, but also being very mindful of the health conscious environment that we live in. And so, you know, it's not only using these indigenous products, but we're very conscious on carbohydrates and sugar content inside these. And so when people taste this first spirit versus the Campari, the first thing that they notice is the level of sweetness and difference in sweetness. And so it's a learning project. It started off with JAB, which was a project educationally wise to let people know what's in the spirits that we're drinking. I mean, we always, for the last year plus, been talking about we abuse what we don't really know. Yeah. And as soon as we know something, it turns into an appreciation. And so we started off with the JAB and the sugarcane rum and the potato vodka and the herbal spirit. And the grappa, which is the seeds and the leaves and the stems from some Italian wines. And now we graduated to how do we bring that project, that thought process back home, keep it local, and make something great with it. So now we have this Amaro, which is the first. Zena will jump on the mic in a minute. She won't be able to specify, but there is something else in the works.
Okay.
And so we'll be adding to this project. Rather sooner than later.
My goodness.
And so we have Tori here, who is going to play a little bit of a couple of things. Tori is going to be approaching his WSET level 3. We'll speak about that later in the show, where we can tap him on the shoulder and call him a Bahamian Somalier.
Wow. Mm.
But wow. He also manages a portfolio that has some spirits, but he works extremely closely with our Bacardi team.
Okay.
I have no qualms with saying our Bacardi team is the best, not in the market, but in this region, possibly in the rural.
My goodness.
No, our Bacardi brand manager, Terrell Hines, is just top-notch. And then when I joined Bristol's 5 years ago, Kenneth McPhee was our local ambassador. He's now the ambassador for the English-speaking Caribbean.
Really?
Yeah. So, okay, and Tori... Kenneth. I don't like to use the word understudy, but Tori is like me. He's an intellectual. I almost said on the radio. Thief. So he just hangs around and steals knowledge and observes,
yeah,
and soaks in all of that kind of good stuff. So he's going to
sponge.
Do one or two things. Yeah, sponge. Okay. Soaks
that's,
it all up.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Intellectual
yes.
sponge.
Yes.
Right.
So he's going to do one or two things, and Zena and I are going to take the mic and explain what it is that he has... going on.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, but that's where we at.
So, sorry, you forgot something? Before you go, you got to tell us what this was that you...
Angel's Envy.
All right. Okay.
So we was having the Angel's Envy knee to get our pilot ready for the...
Oh, okay.
Oh, you have to get your pilot?
So,
and what is Angel's Envy?
So, I mean, it's a bourbon. It's an aged bourbon. This recently added to our portfolio is a part of the Bacardi portfolio. Mm-hmm. So this is on their premium end of things. Bourbon is one of those whiskey.
Right. Is it always from Kentucky? Always?
That's not in law.
Okay.
But the majority of bourbons are produced in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And to be a bourbon is just a percentage of, I think it's the grain that you're using to get the whiskey kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's... universally associated that bourbon and Kentucky are synonymous kind of thing.
Yeah.
So bourbon and whiskey are the same thing?
Yes. But when we get into the whiskey classification, it's the raw product that we use that separates us from a whiskey, a scotch, a bourbon. The raw product and the percentage of the product that we're using.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very complex.
Do you have a preference, scotch or bourbon?
I'm a single malt scotch kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
When we get into bourbon and the blended stuff, sometimes it don't speak truth to what it is that that we want, you know. So when I look at things like, let me try not to call other people's brands. So when we look at Doers, which is a Bristol brand,
right.
It's a true scotch, true aged, and it'll tell you on the label, right? Mm-hmm. It's 10 years. It's 15 years.
Yeah.
It's 25 years. And so they are speaking truth to the minimum aged scotched in this wine or in this bottle is this particular age. Mm-hmm. Other folks don't tell you that.
Right, you got
they play the color.
Guess.
Well, you kind of guess, but they don't want to tell you that because a lot of times they're not playing truth to what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So they might tell you that this particular color label represents this.
And the scotch drinkers know which brand you're talking about.
But inside that bottle could be some very immature scotch, and we are blinded by the marketing game that people play. And I don't want to get into that brand conversation.
Wow,
but
okay.
So I'm a single malt scotch, just to give me the impression of what's happening at a particular place in a particular time. Yeah. Whether it's a white label from Doers that's just a blended, or it's a 10 years that's telling me the youngest in this is 10 years, or the youngest in this is 15 years, kind of thing.
And you got some great single malts at Bristol.
Oh yeah, and we've really solidified our partnership with Jimmy's, who also has some very good single malt. And okay. So some of their scotches and whiskies are now available on our shelves in Bristol.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's wonderful. All right. So we're going to taste this again. This is Angel's Envy
Bourbon. And so usually it's a couple of things. When we get into these delicate and serious spirits, it's usually neat or on the rocks,
right,
or with a teaspoon or two of water, right? And it's just to get the true expression of this, right? This is not your an A1 Coke kind of spirit. This is a, you know, get a true understanding and appreciation. It's just like wine, the right company, the right food on the side of it, or even perhaps a cigar would elevate this this experience.
I know some people who love apple juice and bourbon. What do you make of them?
So I always tell people, and it's, we don't like to shun, you know, things, because we're all about depletions. So whatever it takes for you to buy a bottle of bourbon or whiskey or cognac. But outside of our region, it's very difficult to see apple juice showing up as a mixer when you get into the conversations about these dark spirits, rums, cognacs, whiskeys, scotches, and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But to each its own. It works. People drink a lot of cognac and apple juice, a lot of whiskey and apple juice, and it affects our depletion, so we smile at the end of the day.
Okay. So we're ready? We're going to...
Cheers.
Uh-huh.
So we treat it like wine. It's just a nice little sniff as to what's happening. Mm. Right, there's alcohol we're going to smell for sure. You know, we're up there. Is the peatiness, or, you know, the essence that we get from the raw ingredient itself, whether it's the barley or grain or anything of that sort.
I don't have the nose of a Chester, but am I smelling caramel?
You are indeed, right? So we're talking about it also sitting inside barrels. So inside the bourbon world, what they usually do is grab wine barrels and then get to go some aging. So we're talking about some things that already had something sitting in it, bringing a little level of complexity to this, but also that's how we get to turn this color and that caramelization that you're smelling is coming from
oh wow, this is very different from some other bourbons I've had. It's sweet.
Sweet.
No, again, not calling any names, right? Usually there's a burning sensation from start to finish. But it does give you the sensation of caramelization or a coating of the tongue or a heavier sweetness component. Yeah. But then you still get the nice kick of a bourbon towards towards the end. Yeah, this.
So this tastes like this is expensive. What's the price on this? Zena?
$60, see? Somewhere up there. We're going to confirm that. I think it's about $50 for sure.
Okay.
But when we get into these bourbon conversations and this caliber of spirits, we're hardly talking about anything less than $40 kind of thing.
That's a good one.
Again, it's right. And it's a spend that's you want it to be validated with enjoying this.
Yeah, you definitely got to sip this. Don't mix this with stuff. Yeah.
Don't carry it under the beach in the summer. Yeah.
Right.
Have it on the rocks. Or a rock.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, don't take it on the beach. Exactly. All right. So that is fantastic. And this would be at all locations?
Yeah, so this is in all of our Bristol locations, and we have some fantastic partners on the ground. So if you live in the west, then Keg Ranch is your stop. If you live in the east, then Island Wines and Spirits is your stop.
Okay.
Where
is that? Where is that?
Island Wines and Spirits on Mackey Street, the Plaza with Super Value.
So, Kyle, I have a question. I'm not an alcohol connoisseur, so it's really going to be sounding like a very naive question. But I want to know, how to say 43.3% alcohol by volume. What does that exactly mean?
That means the volume of that bottle, which I think is 750.
Yeah, 750.
Out of 100% of that 750,
43% is alcohol.
It's alcohol.
Wow. So this will drunk you quick.
Yeah, if you play with it.
Right. If you're reckless.
Yeah, if you're very reckless. Yeah, if it, gotta it, be. I mean, if we play with this that we have in the front of us, it will do some damage on a Wednesday morning.
Oh, wow.
But again, that's why we're very serious. And even when we do training, and I always tell people, we're Bahamians, we like a nice little kick. We always look at a bottle to see what's the alcohol content, right? So if there's anything else that we don't pick up from a bottle, we look at the alcohol content and we know not to play, mm-hmm. right? So people drink vodka, and then, you know, they drink 6 or 7 vodkas, and then they jump across the gin. It's like, yeah, but you just jumped up 9% alcohol, right? So that one cup of gin is going to knock you over the top. Right. Where you probably was good for another 2 more vodkas over the next hour or so. So it's it's the understanding of these things. I don't play with spirits above 20%.
Okay.
When I do, it's an experience, it's an environment, because I know after 2 or 3, it's problematic. Mm. 10 to 15%, I misbehave myself with a bottle of wine or two, right? we have to understand and appreciate what these things do. You look at a bottle of rubbing alcohol, we're only about 45% away from that. Are you going to consume that and be reckless with that? Wow. If we know what it does to us when we have an abrasion on our hand, what can it do to the inside of our system?
Oh, right.
That's a very interesting way to look at it.
Yeah. It's the same thing when people, you know, nothing against my friends on some of the family islands, but it's like, when they say we're sending some moonshine, it's like, hey, keep that nonsense where you're making it, because you're trying to tear somebody's body up from the inside out.
So this would be something that you would sip slowly then?
Very slowly. Okay. And these kind of things call for good conversation, good company.
Okay.
So you don't get lost in consuming the beverage itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on these cooler nights, this is going to be very, very nice.
This will warm me right up.
Yeah, even on the patio or something, you can have a good time. Again, it's Angel's Envy. People asking what it is.
Angel's Envy Bourbon. Oh. Yeah, belongs in the Bacardi family. And just while we're on this, real quick, just so people understand, the Bacardi family is big, right? So it includes Bombay Sapphire, Bombay Dry Gin. It includes Patron. It includes Grey Goose.
Sorry, trying to get me to horse this back. I can't.
You're trying to 43% you.
Yeah. We still have quite a bit of show to go through.
Of course, the Bacardi rum line that we're all familiar with, up to the aged. What am I missing? They got the Bacardi rum punch and the Bacardi mojito in the cans, RTDs, we call them, ready to drink. But the Bacardi brand is good. You know, they're strategic in what they do, and the guys we have on the ground are just fantastic. I think what they've done with some of their products and this Amaro just speaks to what, you know, the quality of what's in Amaro.
Right.
For us to have, you know, Angel's Envy bourbon on the side of it to recreate an old fashioned. Mm-hmm. You know, Amaro is at $55 a bottle. Angel's Envy is at $55 a bottle. You know, you're talking about a premium cocktail with an internationally recognized and managed brand, and something that's just coming off of the shelf, a little bit of an infancy stage.
And you can tell the difference when you use the premium products in the cocktail versus what they call it, the bottom shelf stuff.
Yeah, yeah, really, in the well or whatever kind of thing. Sometimes, really big difference. You know, no name calling, but Dory and I was at a spot last week, and he's like, yeah, can I get a gin and lemonade, shaken, not stirred? And he's like, what gin you just put in there? You know, you could tell. You know, it's like, I take a mojito. You didn't make that mojito with Bacardi Silver, which you made that with. Like, you, the quality, the taste profile is different. Mm-hmm. You can tell.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And you're always getting new stuff in, and right. So this is always something exciting to see in Bristol. All right. So Tori is being the mixologist today, right? So he's busy making some drinks. So while he does that, tell us about some of the events that we didn't get to talk about last week.
So
that are going to be coming up. I guess, Zena, this might be your time to start talking too, right? Yeah. But let's talk about those.
So on February 8th, our wine tasting series is back. Last year, it was What's New in the Cellar. Mm-hmm. Coming out of the pandemic, we had a very heavy year of bringing in some new product. Okay. And so just about every 6 weeks or so, we had enough wines to introduce six new wines.
Oh, wow, okay.
This year, you know, Zena challenged me to change it up, be a little bit more creative. And so we're going to take a trip around the world without leaving the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I just put on my status last night. That's pretty boring until the wine bottles show up, right? So we're going to do 60 wines in 10 sessions. 6 wines a session, starting on February 8th. And our first stop is France. Interesting, and we're going to start with France because historically that's where we get our appreciation for wine. Mm-hmm. It is going to be in February. It is the month of love. All right, so we got to bring these things together.
Right.
But then France has a lot of regions that people are familiar with. Yeah. So it's not going to be like I'm coming to taste six bottle red wines. Or I'm coming to taste six Burgundy Pinot Noirs. It's I'm coming to figure out which champagne Tori picked up from the wine cellar. Mm. Rich rosé from Provence. Mm-hmm. Zena kind of liked drinking and said, hey, I think we could introduce
why is she looking at you?
Rich bottle of big Bordeaux red blend, Cabernet and Merlot. We're going to find it's interesting. An understanding of sweet wines from France, which is unique because they let a fungus take over the vineyard and dry out the grapes and concentrate the liquid that's left, and so we have
intentionally a fungus.
So, mm-hmm. Okay. So we have
that doesn't sound pleasant, right?
So we have. If you taste this wine, you'd be like, "Wow!" But of course, if we take out the water, we always like to say factually, in each bottle of wine, 80 to 90% of it is water that we get from the fruit itself. Okay. So if we start out by drying out that water from the fruit, then we ended up with a concentration.
Right.
So the sugar, the sweetness content is highlighted a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
What am I missing? And then one or two interesting things, like the callers asked for some unknown grape varieties. So we'll probably pull out a white wine and a red wine from the Rhone Valley.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he is busy over here.
I'm serious. I'm like, what is he mixing? What is he doing?
He is.
Oh, wow.
All right, so I'm curious about the fungus wine. What's the name of that
it's
one?
Not the fungus wine.
Don't call that. Sorry. Don't hurt me.
So the process of allowing that to happen, or the fungus that do that, we call it Botrytis cinerea or noble rot. Noble rot. So it's noble. It's a good rot.
Okay.
Right? We intentionally allow this to happen.
So winemakers have known about this for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So these kind of sweet wines, you know, you get a white wine from Burgundy, you can spend $35 on it. You got a Sauternes from Burgundy, it's going to cost you about $75.
Oh.
The top line of sweet wines come and go through this same process. Our good friends at Greycliff, Mr. Gazzaroli, has tons of bottles of Chateau de Chem is what it's called. And they usually go anywhere from about $500 to $1,200 a bottle. They go through the same process, allowing this fungus to take over. Just think about it. It's just like if you allow the grapes to get the frozen spot ice wine, you're going to lose some grapes.
Okay.
You're going to lose the ability to produce so much more wine. So how do you make up for that? It's still the same. How much you have 1,000 acres planted, but because you're doing this process, you're losing a lot of ability to meet volume.
Right.
So that shows up in the price point of these wines. But you taste these wines. I'm almost certain we brought a Sauternes on the radio last year. Maybe not.
No, I think
we're supposed to.
Okay. We'll
in February. So what are the brands? The
one that we have is Baron Philippe. We just have one Sauternes. But there's a couple inside our market, one or two other suppliers, distributors on the ground of Sauternes.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where we get into the conversation of quality, natural sweet wine.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing added to it. Mm. It's just a different approach to the winemaking process.
Amazing. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. All right. So
I'm really interested in this. Right? I'm really interested in what he is
the
concocting
education,
over there.
As you said, you know, so, just understanding it brings a whole level of enjoyment.
Most definitely.
And to the point where it's not just about getting blasted or something.
No, it isn't at all. I don't want to tell people that up to last night because they will honestly think I drink every day. But I was just mentioning this, you know.
Do you not, Kyle?
No. Oh. I don't. I don't want anybody to get that in their mind.
Okay.
Almost every day. No, but last night I enjoyed myself at Atlantis for a couple of hours. And I realized I only had 2 cocktails in 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Very good experience. Live band, drive home, no headache. Woke up this morning, did the routine, got the little one to school. Ready to go to work and do what I have to do.
Able to come on the show.
Right? At 9:15 through traffic and all of that kind of good stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But had it not been for me looking for an experience or an enjoyment, you know, I would have been 6 deep. messaging Dwight this morning. Get me postponed. Losing my professional. Everything goes awry when we kind of when we appreciate and it's experience driven. Mm-hmm. It's just so much more enjoy.
Wow. Okay.
That's different.
All right. So Tori, you finally stopped working.
Yeah.
So what are we working with today? What are we doing right now?
That one is the retro.
This is what I have. Yeah. So everybody has something different?
No,
we all have the same thing.
Same thing.
We all have the same thing.
Except you don't have your zest.
I don't have that. Do you have one for me?
So, okay.
So tell us about this.
I'll let Tori say what's in it, and then I'll explain a little bit on the play and the approach to it.
Yes, it's our twist with Amaro and Angel's Envy on the old-fashioned
thing. Mm-hmm. So
it's Angel's Envy, Amaro. So it's our twist.
Very high-end stuff. Yeah.
So Amaro is like a bitter?
Yes.
It's a bitter liqueur.
Okay.
So digestive. Okay. So just think Campari-esque when you think Amaro, right? Okay. And when you think old-fashioned, it's all about bourbon, right? Mm-hmm. And what makes the old-fashioned is the inclusion of some bitters, right? The zest of the orange, some citrus kind of thing. And we don't disturb the spirit as much. You realize, he used it inside a shaker, but he used a spoon.
I did see that.
So a couple of things, not to disturb the
spirit. He had a noise on the radio.
He's a scientist. He's a scientist. He knows what he's doing.
So two things is we don't want to disturb, and we don't want to quickly dilute the spirit by getting the ice melted.
Okay.
You shake it so much, you're going to melt the ice quicker than usual. So just giving it a stir to chill down the spirit kind of thing is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is what he did kind of thing. So we can get the essence of the cascarilla bark, that digestive herbal kind of thing going on. We will get the, the caramelization, a little bit of the sweetness from the Angel's Envy bourbon. And it's just going to be accented by this nice citrus orange slice inside
there. This one isn't in it?
No, that's
not yet. Not yet. All right, so again, this is your take on the old-fashioned, which is one of the classic cocktails. Outside of the hotels, are there places that know how to make an old-fashioned?
People make... I think your question would have been, outside of the hotels, do people know how to make a good old-fashioned?
Okay, yeah, that too.
there's some good spots around town where you can get some good old-fashions. Mm-hmm. But we always take pride in the fact that we will not sit on a bar and order a standard cocktail.
Mm.
We will have a conversation, and we will push the bar team to move in this direction kind of thing. Mm. So we were at Bohemia, we had name drop, in Coral Harbor, recently opened. Fantastic bar team.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic cocktails.
Okay.
And they're open to whatever and anything. So on the night we were there, we had everything from a Fever Grass gin and tonic.
That sounds amazing.
With some gray whale gin. So it's some hidden gems around town, and there's some people who are elevating and stepping up to the game. And I think next month we'll probably have to bring Kenneth on. Kenneth McPhee is doing a sensational job when it comes to training and development of folks. He and I were in Eleuther a week and a half ago, and I kind of told him, "Hey, you're no longer a trainer; you're a motivational speaker."
I mean, we got to celebrate him. That's for the entire English-speaking
Caribbean.
Yeah. That's spectacular.
Top notch. He's top notch.
Oh man!
But he is intent on elevating what it is that we're doing, spirit wise, beverage wise, with a focus outside of the hotel, because they demand our attention, and so they put the focus on their team. But outside of that, what do we got going on? I mean, last year was a prime example. In the middle of the season, the hotels did not have enough restaurants to accommodate the guests.
Oh, wow.
Our suppliers would come down and we would have to say, "Hey, I'll make a reservation for you at Sapodilla. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll send you to Wild Thyme.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll send you to Aquafire." Because, they would go and say, "Hey, I'm down for 6 days and I can't get a reservation at Marcus. I can't get a spot inside Clio for 6 days. Mm. And so, I think what Kenneth is doing, and the chefs are stepping up and business owners are coming on stream with some nice food and beverage concepts. But it's to let people know, what you can get inside the hotel, you can get outside of the hotel as well.
Okay, excellent. And there are a few places.
Most definitely.
And they're increasing. I don't call their names because they don't necessarily advertise with
them.
But there are some places. I've had some good ones places.
And those folks who name I call, just make your face.
What does it taste like?
What is it? How do you describe?
Like, what does it taste like? Explain. Don't tell me you have to taste it.
Yeah, you have to taste
it. I knew you were going to say that. But, like, compare it to
citrusy,
something.
Citrusy,
like,
right?
What is it? Right. So, just as you tasted that bourbon, and you got it at the shop.
Under the bus.
Just as the bourbon was tasted and we we accepted that there was a level of sweetness to it, we've just added a...
I didn't taste the sweet.
It was definitely a sweet bourbon.
Yeah. But that's because I'm a novice. Right, you know, so, yeah.
For the record, the question does not consume alcohol. But we have... It isn't like you've poured orange juice into a cocktail. It's that you've brought the accent of it. So you can taste the citrus, but it's almost like I need to take another sip to see if this is really citrus in it. It's just the essence of it.
Does it bring the alcohol taste down
a
little?
Yes, it does. Okay. Yes. So it isn't as sweet, right? And when we get into cocktails, we're always looking for the balance between sweet and sour, right? So that citrus kind of brings down that sweetness and masks the alcohol.
So now the
old-fashioned or this in front of us, the retro, is what we call a balanced
So would this be one of those drinks that people say it sneaks up on you? Would this be classified?
Oh, no. You know when you put this to your mouth, this ain't no sneak. Yeah. In sneaker.
Not unless you horse it back. Don't do that. Right? Yeah. But if you do it the way you're supposed to, have the conversation and sip a little bit, you should be okay.
But if you drink two with these, like you're drinking rum and coke,
right?
You know, sneak.
Okay, right down. I got you.
Explain to people that you really do need the bitters to be a part of this for a classic cocktail, right?
All of these things are important, right? And so even if we go back to your comment about, you know, outside of the hotels, it's because inside the hotels, they're going to stick to standards.
Right.
Outside of the hotels, they say, oh, yeah, I can give you an old-fashioned, but I don't have no bitters. No, you can't give me an old-fashioned if you don't have any bitters, right? And you watch Tori, and it wasn't like he poured bitters. It was like two dashes.
Right. He measured.
Right, he did.
Because everything adds an element to the complexity of the cocktail kind of thing.
What's that?
And that simple syrup.
Okay.
And we get that all the time. People, I want old fashioned, but don't give me no this. I want a mojito. Don't give me this. You don't want nothing.
You want whatever you want. You're requesting
bourbon on the rocks.
Right.
No problem. I can put an orange peel in there.
Don't want so old fashioned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's take this call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Swan, Kyle Stubbs, and DeGressor.
Morning.
And
Tori
Sanders
of Vicks
2 and Zeba.
DeGressor.
Yeah.
I think I'm a connoisseur of the scotch, right? But I want Kyle to answer some questions. You know, the thing is, you have to adulterate that a lot to drink that. It's just like anything else, tolerance. And it's very powerful. So, Kyle, you know, I worked in the hotel for years. I'm familiar with a lot of those wines you're talking about, but I like scotch, right? Every year I'll buy a bottle. And so you call one of my favorite name brands, Dewars, right?
All right.
With me and my older brother, we always have an argument. You know, I like to smell them before I drink them. I notice basically you all smell the same. They have a little difference in taste. But some of my favorite brands would have been like Seagram's VO, Chivas Regal, Jack Daniels. I don't like the new one with the honey. It tastes bad. I don't know where they get that from. And then Cutty Sock and stuff like that. But what I wanted to ask you was, What is the difference between my blended scotch whiskey? What is it blended with? And I like to drink it with almond milk. I notice it kind of coagulates a bit, but I can never drink it raw. I have to drink it with almond milk or something like that. Dwight, you need to try it.
Oh my god, I like almond milk, but my goodness, that's interesting. Thank you so much.
Well, it wouldn't curdle.
I might girdle. I mean, I don't know. I went
almond milk. But like we scotch. Also like to tell people is, you know, everybody's taste preference and profile is different, right? Now, I'm not a cream dairy person, but I would try, right? Because we don't long for us. Because, I mean, I'll be honest with you, it isn't an accepted mix, but cognac and apple juice, it's a little bit enjoyable, right? But it's just not, you know, we just don't do that in the industry.
The bourbon apple juice is not horrible. It's not horrible.
Right? But when we say blended, right, is we're not, we're blending different years, younger scotches with older scotches. And so we're not speaking to a particular age, right? So you're the brand that you're speaking about that we both love is Dewars. And Dewars is not blended. That's why Dewars would tell you this is 15. Right?
Do it's not blended?
No. So when we talk about blended, we're talking about years of aging.
Okay.
Okay. Right? So we're blending. How do I say this now? So we're blending years, not to speak to a specific category in Scotch. Mm. Right?
It's not a single malt, though.
No,
it's not a single.
No, a single malt will be a single cast, right. But we can blend single malts.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
But we can also have a single malt for a single year or an aged single malt. So we can have a 12-year-old single malt. Mm-hmm. We can have a blended single malt that's just a blend of a malt of a 3-year-old or 1-year-old, and we don't put an age on it,
mm-hmm.
kind of situation. But I'm going to, we can get deep into that conversation when we bring Kenneth. Going to let Kenneth, because I want to be specific on the information, because the Scotch drinkers are a lot more serious than some of our wine drinkers, right? So I can imagine somebody, maybe not 52, but somebody else is sitting down taking note, going to do some research and going to ask some questions, right?
Come at you.
Yeah, not come at me, but we always like to be challenged. And right. I like to go home and do some homework as well.
Yeah.
But I want to bring Kenneth. To really dive into that particular category of spirit,
yeah.
But blend
is usually more mature.
Oh yeah, and they've developed their palate and they've drank, you know, the white labels or the red labels for years, and through maturity their palate is asking for a little bit more. So I don't want the blended stuff. I want single malt.
Yeah.
I don't want the you know, just the white label. I want a 15-year-old, and you know, it's just like, you know, you start off with drinking Calarasi. I was in a junk in a shock a couple of weeks, and somebody brought in a bottle of Calarasi, and I just looked like, oh man, 20 years ago.
right.
But I look at him, it was a 22-year-old fella, so I'm like, okay, in 10 years, will not be carrying around a gallon of
Calarasi. I remember 20 years ago, my first scotch, I was like, what is this garbage? What do you all, seriously?
Right.
But now, right. All right. So this is great. This is the retro.
It was great.
Retro. Yeah, it's very nice. Okay. Very nice. If you like old fashioned, you will love that. And you all give the recipes out on.
Yeah, we have a recipe card, and they're inside our stores.
I could leave this one too.
I have about 10 of them.
Yeah. Our retail team is really now getting on board with it. I was able in the last week to see all of our stores in action, selling and having conversations with customers about it. So, you know, it isn't like you walk in and you ask and nobody will be able to point you or give you a little bit of an explanation.
Yeah.
You know, we're in a little lull of the season, probably for another 2 or 3 weeks, and before spring break really kicks off. And so the team is on the ground, and, you know, hopefully we'll see some of these cocktails show up on some cocktail menus in our favorite spots, inside and outside of the hotels.
Do you think it's going to change the this is already starting on me, but but the fact that we can do more locally, it's changing it, right?
It's
landscape. That's the word.
The landscape is changing, and I think it's going to change for the good. And I think you always ask this question, and I honestly want to be around for the next 3 to 5 years to see these spirits be on the export, you know, kind of situation. Then we really know we've made our mark. We're onto something. But the landscape is changing.
Duquesa, do you want a retro?
No. I just have a question. So, is this a drink that you would have with a meal, or is this something that you just have without, like, you know, you're just sitting with your boys and talking, or what would it go with if it was with a meal?
So, I just want you to smell it, right? This is after the meal.
Okay.
Right.
So this could be like a dessert.
No, digestive.
Okay.
So after the dessert.
Okay.
I'm finished before the end stuff hit in.
Mm-hmm.
This is that. Okay. But if you think about it, when we first came in, Tori said, we're going to do a bourbon, open up the palate, get the system bubbling kind
of thing. Make you hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then I'm going to start in and say, hey, you need that food and wine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then after that, I'm going to say, hey, you don't want to go to sleep with the stuff on your system.
Okay.
So let's help to break it down. That's where this comes
from. So it's okay to have 3 different forms of alcohol within one meal.
In the appropriate quantity. It's fantastic.
Okay. Fantastic.
Fantastic.
You
better
that.
Believe it. That is
really?
You better believe it. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's...
That smells really nice.
Locally produced.
Yeah, 100% locally.
This is your first Amaro.
It's nice.
Oh, look at that. Duquesne is saying that.
It's better than... I'm sorry.
You like that more than the bourbon.
But okay. Two different classifications.
Yeah. That one tasted like stingy.
It gave you a little burn right. sensation.
Right.
But you can smell and taste the alcohol in this, but it's enjoyable. It's complex and there's some...
So what percentage is in this? Because I don't... 31?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's less.
Yeah, liqueur. Okay. You know, liqueur kind of stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
So you could see yourself...
No.
But you like it and you recognize it.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Yeah. Every so often, locally maybe a glass produced. Of red wine, mm-hmm. maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And every so often. I mean, we have these, what's the smaller
size? This drinks alone with ice? This drinks alone with ice. Okay.
We have the 50 milliliter that you can get for $5. The 375 that you can get for... $25.
Okay.
And then the 750 is 55.
Mm.
Oh, 49. Okay. Yeah. So we're still on our introductory price point.
We're contributing to the delinquency of Duquesne this morning. No, that's okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to be good today, right?
Yes. For the record, when I was driving and then I heard Duquesne, I said, but didn't Duquesne just say the last time we were here that she doesn't?
Right. Okay. You just happened to come on it.
Peer pressure is a serious thing.
We appreciate this.
Yeah.
But thank you so much. This has been really cool. You get you out of your wine.
Yes.
Is it a bubble? No, it wouldn't say
that. It's a bubble. No. But what I do like is, like I tell you, I'm just like Tori's. I'm a sponge. Mm-hmm. Right? And I sit directly opposite the Bacardi brand manager. So there's not much he could do, say, without me listening and trying to understand. He has personally introduced me to some of their premium beverages, and not just because I work with Bristol's and, you know, we like to support, and but what they have in terms of quality and activations and what they do in terms of advocacy, it's just incredible.
Yeah. And you can have appreciation of everything, right? Yeah,
and most definitely. Yeah. And I always like to tell people, I decided to err on the side of wines. My 2.5 years of study included every category of spirit.
Okay.
It included tea, it included coffee,
tea,
and it included water. But I erred on the side of wine.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Excellent. Yeah. Well, look at that. And Tori, how much longer before we can start calling you sommelier?
Hopefully July.
Okay.
Yeah,
hopefully
it's going
to come up very soon. So you're going studying and you're doing all kinds of things right now? Okay.
He starts in February. Fingers crossed that he and I would be able to make a trip across to Miami for some big tastings. The Food and South Beach Food and Wine Festival, James Suckling, the number one wine critic, has 600 wines for tasting over a 2-day period.
What?
So I told Tori.
Send me the details about that, please.
When you reach level 3 and 4, you know, and the separation is, you got to taste these wines.
So we'll have
three.
Three.
I'm going to call her name again, Christina Dean from the Ocean Club.
Okay.
She's the beverage manager. She just received her level 3 in October or November.
So we'll have three sommeliers.
So hopefully in July.
You know Tori's going to do it.
Yeah, no, Tori's good. No, Tori, I'm not even questioning Tori. Mm-hmm. He's good. But our next colleague, Griselle, should be jumping on board as well. And we have two folks from Old Fort Bay, Angelique and Jacob, the club manager and the food and beverage manager.
Oh, this is amazing.
And I'm hoping to get two or three gentlemen who would have done level 2 with us from Grey Cliff. Mm. So... fingers crossed.
Oh, we're going to be like.
In this summer, there's going to be an explosion of wine professionals in this market.
Okay.
We're going to do some damage.
Sommeliers here, there, and everywhere.
And everywhere.
Right? Okay. Well, why not? Why not? Thank you all so much for being here. This special edition of
it's a pleasure.
What we do here with Bristol Wines and Spirits. Thank you so much for being here this
Thank
morning.
You so much for inviting us. It'll be sooner than later. I guess it's 3 weeks now before we're back instead of 4.
Kyle, Tori, Zena, thank you so much for being here with us. Appreciate it. And Duquesne, thank you for being here
my
on
pleasure.
A Wednesday.
Thank you.
Chester, continue to enjoy your vacation. We'll see you next week. And be sure to pick up today's NASA Guardian and the business section for the latest in business news. And Guardian Radio and Morning Blend business brought to you in part by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations. And I'll be back tomorrow morning with more Morning Blend and Morning Blend business right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Twice run. Have a great day, everybody. Stay tuned for On the Clock with Aaron Green coming up next.